Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Stella Blue Coffee is more than just great coffee. It's coffee with a purpose. Introducing We Brew to Rescue, a nationwide campaign using proceeds from our new ready-to-drink cans to help fund 1,000 pet adoptions this year. Every can you crack open helps a real pet find a real home. Simple as that. Made with 100% Colombian coffee, each 11-ounce can delivers smooth, drinkable energy with a boost of protein. Available in espresso cafe mocha and espresso sweet cream. Built for mornings, long days, and everything in between. Drink Stella Blue, fuel your day, and help save a pet's life. You can follow our progress in real time throughout the campaign by watching the adoption tracker on our site. Grab yours now at StellaBlueCoffee.com. Amazon and select retailers nationwide.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
What killed the dinosaurs? The Ice Age!
You want to come and join with you?
I'm gonna make you famous, Lizzie.
It's not Al anymore. It's Dunk!
Dunkachino?
Don't mind if I do!
I'm the Joker, baby!
All right, welcome to Lights, Camera, Barstool, episode 78 of season 2. Jeff Lowe, Ken Jack, Gooch, and Chris Castellani. The day after the Super Bowl. Congratulations to Chiefs fans, I guess.
We got a lot of Chiefs fans that are a crossover with LCB, I think.
Yeah, everybody doubted them. The third best odds preseason to win the Super Bowl.
None of y'all believed in us. Me and Patty Mahomes, you guys wrote us off.
The fuck are you talking about, dude?
I was mad until this morning when somebody reminded me that Georgia did that this year.
Oh, now, you know, I'm not they mad were adamant about it.
Yeah. Dude, like, why do every single time there's like a really good team, recently I think it's more like a last 10 years thing, they feel like they need to be the underdog. And I don't know why. I think they just think it's because it's like a better visual or whatever. If you're a really good team, accept being the evil empire. It is significantly cooler, like Patriots fans do. You know what I mean? Like, just accept it.
Even the Patriots did it, though. You remember the Super Bowl they beat the Rams?
I'm correcting you. I'm correcting you. Because people actually did doubt them that year.
Exactly.
That was the problem with the Patriots is that nobody let them just beat. They were like, you'd have Trent Dilfer would come on. They'd be like, they're dead. Yeah. So they lost week one to the Chiefs and people were like, they're fucking dead. Yeah. So what are you talking about?
I'll give you that one.
We as a society fueled the Patriots to keep winning Super Bowls. Nobody fueled the Chiefs. Nobody did.
None.
If anything, last week people were talking about how the NFL has rigged it for them.
Exactly.
And last night.
They did rig it. Bengals should have. But I got to put my foot down here. As the only former football player on here, the underdog shit works. It really does. There's a reason Bill Belichick and like Nick Saban like are so good at like doing that, because it fucking works. Like, no, the more amazing thing is that these coaches can actually convince these players, especially in college, where George is blowing out like the number 7 ranked team by 40 points. And they're like, oh yeah, everyone's still saying that you guys stink. It's like, how are you convincing these grown adults that no one believes in them?
It's unreal. But, it's like, hey, I know our quarterback just won MVP and had the best statistical season of his life after losing one of the best wide receivers in the NFL, but people don't believe in us. You know what I mean? No one gives the Chiefs a chance. I know when Super Bowl 2 years ago too, but still.
Next year's comeback player of the year, Patrick Mahomes.
Exactly.
I will say I do like Chiefs fans. Chiefs have some of the coolest celebrity fans. So
they do,
whatever.
By far.
Congratulations. That was a wild game with a lot to talk about. And we actually are going to talk about a lot of the things that have to do with the Super Bowl, because Super Bowl means trailers. And we have a lot of those, a lot of them.
A ton.
It's kind of shocking the number of trailers on the Super Bowl now compared to like straight up commercials. Like, it feels like it used to be more brand and product oriented. Now I mean, like half the commercials last night were trailers for something.
Commercials have lost their juice. Super Bowl commercials. They release them early. Like, even like the Caddyshack one with Brian Cox, just basically being Logan Roy. Like, that was funny, but that came out like a week ago. Like, yeah. It just doesn't, you know, it doesn't have the juice.
I feel like they all have this sort of same formula now where it's like, hey, look, a celebrity.
Oh my God. It's like, okay. So annoying last night, man. It's, yeah.
Yeah, we get it. You had enough money to get like a big celebrity to promote Pop Chips or whatever. Like, well, like, not funny.
Like we said, Breaking Bad. We got to stop doing Breaking Bad throwbacks for commercials.
No offense to Bryan Cranston, but he's not Puppy Monkey Baby.
What was that? Was that for Quiznos, right?
No, that was
Mountain Dew.
Doritos? Mountain Dew.
Oh, wait. Yeah. Was it Dr. Pepper?
No, it was Mountain Dew.
Mountain Dew? Because Quiznos had the Quiznos rat. That was what that commercial was. Yeah.
And the Quiznos baby.
The Quiznos rat, I think, kind of put them out of business, which sucks because Quiznos is infinitely better than Subway in every possible facet.
I like the commercials that were like this, like what would be up on the screen. They might do the little voices with the little googly eyes.
Yep. Those ones
are the Pepper Bar.
The Pepper Bar, dude. I was just talking to Trill about this. Every fucking restaurant should have like a fixings bar, like Roy Rogers or whatever. Like, I don't want them to decide how many pickles I have. I want more pickles than you're going to give me. So just let me decide. So, but whatever. That's a cost-cutting measure. Whatever.
I don't know when the last time you guys have been to Subway, but when you go to Subway or somewhere and you see they're about to give you like the butt end of the tomato, you're like, no. Pick around that one.
You just see the most rancid looking, like dried up guacamole they're about to put on your fucking... Their guacamole is so bad, by the way. Like their avocado spread, it's just the most disgusting. I don't know. It is an avocado. It must be like 1% avocado.
Oh my God. This episode brought to you by Game Time. Goated sponsor of not just Lights, Camera, Barstool, but of Barstool Sports. Created by fans, for fans, Game Time, great ticketing app, makes things very easy, not just to buy tickets, but to collect tickets as well. Also, Gooch, your audio is on like Tim and Eric levels of every sound effect possible. You're wearing AirPods, by the way. Just a heads up. Everyone just wants you to put that VIN pouch in and then type like half a sentence.
Okay.
I had to note that. So Game Time. Great ticketing app. We used it all week at the Super Bowl for like waste management, different events. People been using it for many different things as well. College World Series. I know Chris used it at. Kendrick used Game Time for Imagine Dragons.
Yeah, that's right. Tyler and Colby, my favorite two guys. They one of them is dating someone famous now, right?
fuck.
One of them just like announced a relationship with somebody, I think. The Imagine Dragons guys.
Oh, Imagine Dragons. Oh.
No, I saw Chris Martin at the Grammys recently, and he looked like a little kid. He dressed up with like he had the funniest outfit I've ever seen. I'll see if I can find it. It's really funny.
Yeah, great app to get tickets last minute. Like we said, you can also buy things. Not just last minute, but transfer them to people as well, which is insanely helpful. Dude. Some of the transfers on those apps and sites is a complete nightmare, but can be anything. Sporting events, comedy shows, Broadway shows, concerts. I'm using it. I'm going to be in Austin for a little while. I'm going to use it next week and go see UT basketball. They got a new arena. They cut their arena in half. It's a smaller arena. I'm going to see them play Iowa State, a little top 10 matchup next week.
I like that.
I do. I like
downsizing arenas.
It's louder.
I like that there's... Yeah,
there's no empty seats. It's a smart move. The most famous college basketball arena in the world seats like 200 people. It's more than
here's the move. You know, if you're like a basketball powerhouse,
arena seats like 40,000.
All right, relax. You know what I'm talking about.
So, if you're a basketball powerhouse, like if you're Kansas or Duke, whatever, build a stadium that has like 800,000 seats, and then you can be like, look, people aren't coming to the games. We're underdogs. We can't even fill half the stadium. You know, no one's rooting for us.
Yeah, right. I just realized there's Chiefs fans now like, no, give us Fog Allen. Cameron Indoor is the most popular college basketball arena in the country.
What's the biggest stadium in college basketball?
One of our coworkers, Riggs, Foreplay, he just went there using Game Time. Purchase process, very easy. Couple taps, few seconds. Download the Game Time app or go to the website, enter your email, and redeem code LCB for $20 off your first purchase on the Game Time app. Great app, great site, and great service for buying tickets, getting anything you want to go see. Time of year, summer's coming up, baseball, spring training, I don't know. Could be anything. Thank you to Game Time.
Syracuse has the biggest basketball arena in the world?
They play at their football stadium.
They play the Carrier Dome.
Boo.
Yeah, it's a complete...
It looks terrible. It looks terrible, too. Like, they cover up, like, half the stadium.
Yeah.
It's not
People
great.
Forget Jim Boeheim's only won one national title.
I didn't realize Louisville's center is called the KFC Yum Center. That's awesome.
Yeah, it rules. When I first got out of college, I lived in Louisville for a year, and like my best friend there, he was the equipment manager for the basketball team. So I went to 20 home games, 15 home games
at the KFC Yum Center.
Great, great arena. They had Taco Bell. Like they have like the cantina bars inside. Like it's pretty sweet.
Oh, they must have like the Kentucky Hut deals going on there, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, the Yum Center hosts. They host tournament games every now and then.
It's really, really nice. It's like
a Pepsi stadium, though, right? Which is bad.
It is Pepsi, I believe.
Yeah, so never mind.
It's tough. I remember. Yeah, we don't – that – not as good. Like, I was in a Pepsi hotel this past weekend, so –
It's like finding bed bugs.
I do. The problem is I actually like Pepsi. I don't drink sugary sodas, though. So, I either drink Diet Coke – or it's Diet Pepsi. But if they have Pepsi Zero, I actually like Pepsi Zero. It's actually not bad.
It's all right.
Pretty solid. Bring back Coca-Cola C2, half Diet Coke, half Coke.
What the fuck was that? That was so stupid. Oh, my God. Oh, one of our coworkers went on a rant against the Coke Zero machine, by the way. I forget who it was. Was it Doug's or someone? Someone went like, on a rant against it. One of the greatest inventions of mankind, the Coca-Cola Freestyle machine. Don't talk shit about that.
Sounds like a flank rant.
Have you seen the viral Dr. Pepper McDonald's thing where you go to McDonald's and you get Dr. Pepper and then you put two coffee creamers in it?
Ew, no.
What?
Yeah, it tastes like a Dr. Pepper float.
I saw people put DiSorono in disgusting. Dr. Pepper. They say it's amazing.
I saw the DiSorono thing, but like the Dr. Pepper, like that's such like a poor move. Like I want a Coke float when you put like you put like two coffee. Come on. Can't be doing that. Trailers. Let's start with The Flash. This is the big one, probably the most anticipated trailer last week or so. No, even though I would assume that Vin Diesel would tell you differently. We will talk about the Fast 10 trailer is
too long.
I don't know. I have a different opinion on it than I thought I would have.
It's a short film.
Yeah. Flash coming out in June as of now. You never know these days. Travels back in time to prevent his mom's murder, which traps him in an alternate reality without metahumans. He enlists the help of Batman and Supergirl from alternate realities in order to save this world from the restored General Zod and return to his universe. General Zod, Michael Shannon again. Ron Livingston is playing his dad.
Yeah.
Which I did forget that Billy Crudup played his dad in Justice
League. Yeah, he had to drop out.
Different universe or something, maybe?
I forget about that. Kirstie Clemens plays Iris West again, who's in that like very small extended version, like extended scene where like the hot dog was in the air and Zack Snyder's Justice League.
It was like 10 minutes long. It's like a 10 minute slow-mo scene.
Yeah. Car crash and shit.
Sasha Kale also plays Kara Zor-El, Supergirl, and then the big one, Michael Keaton when his back is Batman. In the trailer, we see a very pointed look at the camera, though they do it in a very aware meta way where he says, I'm Batman. And I'll tell you what, I got goosebumps. And the Batman theme continues to be just – the Batman theme will always be, I think, a top three, like, big budget property theme for me. And that means everything. Wow. Star Wars means everything. There's just something about that theme that just hits. And I think because it just builds up and builds up and builds up and it gets better and better. So to hear that again, it's awesome. It's very cool. And I don't know. Weren't we told that we weren't going to see a ton of Michael Keaton Batman? He seems to be a lot of the movie.
I told you that those rumors just like – those rumors kept swirling, but nobody was confirming them, that they had removed like all the cameos. I was like, that wouldn't make any sense. Like that would be a massive selling point for this movie. It wouldn't make sense for them to take him out. So I'm happy. I hope this isn't like one of those bait and switch situations where they show these cameos and then that's all that there was. But I get the feeling from the trailer that they're going to like – there's going to be a good amount of Michael Keaton and Ben Affleck in there.
I mean, hell, dude. They bring out Jack Napier, Jack Nicholson, one final ride. I mean, it would be fucking awesome. I mean, I liked just seeing him say the line because that's like the second line Batman says in Batman 89. It's just that he looks down, shakes down that dude and goes, I'm Batman. And like, so like, it's not like out of bounds weird. Like, I guess if you never saw Batman 89, that might seem a little corny, but like, that's just as part of the movie. And I think seeing a lot of the stuff in there, the cameos were cool. I think Supergirl, I'm into it.
Oh, you're okay.
I was into it. There's something about like that short hair. I don't know, man. What's her name in Kara L or something in Superman canon? I forget, something like that. But yeah. I don't know. I'm excited to see her kick some ass and seeing even Michael Shannon back, because like General Zod, like whatever you want to say about any of the DCU stuff, I think General Zod, Michael Shannon's performance as him was fucking awesome. And especially like that one little, we talked about this recently, I think the monologue he has where he's like, I have to protect Krypton. You took that from me. Like that scene is so fucking good. And I'm just excited to see him get back in that role. I'm really pumped for this movie.
Yeah. The Flash No Way Home looks pretty good. I'll be real. This does look really good. And I think one of the big reasons why, and we've discussed it a little bit, I like Andy Muschietti as a director. I think he's quite good. Yeah. And yeah, exactly. Yeah,
he's
exactly.
Argentinian, but yeah.
Is it? Wow, really? And I would not have guessed that. But it's ambitious as fuck. I mean, wow. I think we could. There's a potential here that this could suffer from, you know, too much going on syndrome. Because there's a lot of balls that are being juggled. I mean. I don't have like, – I'm going to be coming in hot today because I had a lot – you know, between the commercials and the trailers, I had a – like – are just reaffirmation that art is dead. But I am – as a massive Batman fan, I don't like either of the Keaton movies. So
what? You're a Nolan Batman fan. Let's establish that. I'm an
actual Batman fan, meaning that I like interpretations of Batman that don't include him killing – you know, no reason why he does what he does. You know, Bruce Wayne, who's not a bumbling idiot.
But you're a Nolan guy. You're like, that's your Batman.
I prefer the more grounded, realistic Batman. I think – and Michael Keaton is great as Batman. I think that what Tim Burton did with those movies, he fucking mutilated the character. But that's just type of way
he did,
I already
– He did. Whatever. I like them, but there is no denying that Batman killed.
He even said he didn't. He said himself, "I've never read a comic book." Like when making those movies, all right.
And yet he made one of the best Batman movies. Which sometimes it just works out that way.
I'd also argue though, nobody's gotten Gotham the way he did. Like he nailed Gotham.
Yeah, Gotham. Right.
Well, that's what Tim Burton is at his worst. Is it's just style over substance. It's just Gotham looks great. I don't care about anything that's going on, but that's the point. Looks good. Ezra Miller, somewhat distracting, just based on like sentiment.
Long greasy hair and Barry bothers me.
There's like five Ezra Millers in this, so you gotta really, if your tolerance is low, it's gonna be tough right. movie for you.
Watching this trailer, you completely understand why like they're not giving up on Ezra Miller, because like he plays like three different roles. Like they weren't gonna cut his scenes because he is the fucking vital main character in this. I hope it's good, man. I think I'm confident based on the way this trailer looks, this thing ends with a complete reset of the DCEU. I feel like, I mean, even going back to Zod, like, which was step one of the initial DC universe here. I don't know. It's a really well put together trailer. That's all I can say.
I will note too, there's something that I was worried about, especially because just the way superhero movies have been going recently, CGI looked awesome. Like that was great. That CGI was way better than anything I think I've seen in a superhero movie recently. Again, it's a trailer, so you take it with a grain of salt, but like it looked great.
Did you guys get for just a brief second think that was Christian Bale's Batman on the Batcycle?
It looked
very much like Nolan's Batcycle versus the Ben Affleck, one of his gadgets, which I'm not putting that out of the realm of possibilities at this point.
Yeah.
I don't think you can. I don't think you can, because I just think there's too many. If they're breaking open the multiverse, we're going to see other shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Please don't bring him back.
Really? I wouldn't hate it.
No, yet. I would love it. I think if you're going to sell out, you have to full sell. That's the thing. Like you can't.
Okay. Yes.
I think if you half do it, it feels. If you have to, it feels cheap.
I think bringing Keaton back is enough to me.
I would agree.
What I love about and it's a personal thing. What I love about the Nolan movies is that I think they've aged really well because they are untouched. Like they are so disconnected from everything else. Like the idea of like, would Christian Bale's Batman fit in a multiverse? Really? All right. I don't know. It would scream of desperation to me.
Would Keaton's though? Like Keaton's doesn't really make sense, but I've got trust that they'll find a way to make it work at least, or at least it looks like they're trying to.
If the Joker can give news people makeup that turns him sick. I think he could probably fit into a multiverse. But.
There's a
half man, half penguin in the second movie. So
I think Gooch has a good point though, because like that Keaton Batman, like that whole Batman universe is very like campy and like over the top, and like it's not really what the DCEU is kind of like. So like that is kind of like, if that can happen, then why wouldn't Nolan happen? Because like that,
which Batman, I'm curious how much of Gotham we see.
Yeah, and that Batman, I would say the Nolan Batman is closer to DCEU than the Tim Burton Batman is, just as far as like general vibe.
We're also leaving out the fact that he stopped being Batman at the end of the third movie. They'd have to explain that.
Yeah. I mean, it could be he like inserted a different point of it or something like that. Oh, Flashpoint. Yeah. I forgot Keaton had like a 5-second bit at the end of Morbius until just now when I was trying to think of other superheroes.
Something to do with Spider-Man, I think.
Yeah, Spider-Man. You want to help me kill Spider-Man?
The Living Vampire. That was a good time waiting the buildup for that movie.
Yeah.
The second trailer we're going to talk about is Fast 10, a very long, one of the longest trailers in the history of trailers.
4 minutes.
It was over 3 minutes and 30 seconds long, I do believe. Dominic Toretto, and this is big. We learned big.
What do you call him Dominic for? No one calls him Dominic Toretto. That's Dom Toretto.
I'm reading exactly how Wiki says.
Don't lead what the fucking nerds say. You read it like a true Fast fan.
He must protect his crew and family from Cypher, which is I gotta be honest, I'm very sick of Cypher.
So sick. I am so fucking sick of Cypher. They thought that was gonna be such a cool character, and it's not enough Cypher.
Which is a bummer because
good morning, Sunshine.
What they're doing with the villain here is awesome. I think I actually really do like it, and I like the reveal of who Momoa is, who now joins forces with Dante, the son of drug kingpin Hernan Reyes, seeking revenge for his father's death during the events of Fast 5. I know everybody remembers Hernan Reyes, and if you don't, which is probably most of you, it's the safe. It's the safe. Fast 5 is awesome. Fast 5 rules.
Yeah.
Like, legitimately a really solid movie.
That was 5 movies ago. It's so absurd to think
of. But I like
– Yeah, I was a freshman in high school.
Now, I'm going to contradict myself a little. I'm not going to contradict myself, but the idea of this is going to be contradicted very briefly. I like that Jason Momoa is not in here as some big new bad guy that comes out of nowhere. I appreciate, like, they show a couple scenes from the Fast 5 vault heist, and like, you know, he was standing behind the vault, which I love. But I appreciate that they're kind of going back a little bit to some roots, right? Like they race in this movie. Like I like that they're going to dial it, maybe not dial it back, but they're going to maybe go back a little towards center of what we know from the early like beginnings of this movie, of this franchise. So that is who Momoa's character is. I like that it's not just some random big bad. This is basically a part two. It's actually part one.
Yeah, this, it's
a two-parter, excuse me. So while I think that's cool, and the trailer was fun, and it's ridiculous, and again, I love Momoa's villain being connected to Fast 5. Apparently this week, Vin Diesel was talking about who he wants the new villain to be in the next one.
Yeah.
How did I know this already? How was this not determined?
Isn't this basically
a part one, part two?
That's almost spoiling, too, that obviously Dante's not going to make it into the next one.
Right. They're introducing this new villain, and now he's like, I want Robert Downey Jr. to play like a smart car guy. That's basically what he said. He wants Robert Downey Jr. to play like Elon Musk.
I walked away from this trailer with two things, and the first is that I don't think Momoa is a particularly convincing villain, just because he's such a nice dude. Like every single clip you see of Momoa in real life, he's just like saving animals out in Hawaii doing fun stuff, like. And he usually plays like a relatively good guy, even if like you look at like a Khal Drogo who's supposed to be scary. It's like you're rooting for him for most of the movie, for most of the Game of Thrones. So I don't know how much I buy him as a villain. And also, Brie Larson, what are we doing? What are we doing, Brie Larson? You do not need to be in any more franchise movies. They give a great paycheck. Go do stuff like Short Term 12 and Room Again. You do not need to be doing any more of these like mercenary girl boss roles in fucking franchise movies. Be done with them. Go be a good actress again.
Yeah. She is very close to where the general public has completely forgotten that at one point she was a very respected and highly touted actress.
Like, elite. Like
Oscar Academy Award winning actress.
That window was very small though. Like, she went from 21 Jump Street to, like, Academy Award in a small window, and now she's franchise actress.
No, she went from the league to...
Yeah, the league, true. That's right. It was Rafi's girlfriend or whatever, or somebody's...
The au pair.
Yes, the au pair.
Yes, that's right.
But I don't know. I like this trailer. I think overall, though, like, I gotta be honest, this got me... If I'm comparing this to the previous one, I'm looking forward to this more than I am. The previous one was just... I was like, dude, come on. Like
rockets, the cars in space.
I think it's a little more closer to center, and it like they're gonna race and they're gonna do things that, like, all right, that's closer to the movies that I liked in this franchise. I don't know. I appreciated that more. I expected to hate this. I don't hate it.
We used to race for respect. Now I'm racing to prevent a blood war.
They also had Momoa do the thing that he did in Brazil, where he guns come in.
They just rewrote a line from Mission Impossible. Sean Harris is like, the never accept death when suffering is owed. Like, that's just rewriting Sean Harris dialogue from Mission Before Impossible. AP,
what is it?
Yeah. Before can't peace, be peace without great first suffering. Great suffering. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. We've watched these movies too many times.
Chris is going to watch all of them, by the way. Chris has committed. Chris will be watching all of the Fast movies and all of the Mission Impossible movies.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
Mission Impossible is easy. You could get through Mission Impossible in a day.
I bet I'll enjoy it. The reason – and
Fast is tough.
Yeah, Mission Impossible movies I've just missed out on. Like, there's no active, like, oh, I don't want to see these. The Fast movies, it's – every person I know comes out of those movies. I don't like the whole, well, it's good in spite of itself thing. Like, oh, it was a big, dumb, stupid pile of shit, but I liked it. Like, no.
There's a couple really good ones, though.
Everyone says Fast 5 is good, and everyone says 7 is good.
Yep. Yeah, but there are a few that you're going to be like, Jesus, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what's really funny, too, Chris, is I was going to make the comparison of this trailer. I said it feels very Bollywood, like, you know, like the big budget Bollywood films, like the action scenes you'll sometimes see from them where, like, they'll be like five guys and they'll, like, grab each other and they'll roll up into a ball and jump into a catapult and, like, get thrown across, like, a building. Like, that kind of absurd over the top action is felt very Bollywood to me. So, like,
it wouldn't surprise me if Furious 11 is in RRR Fast and Furious crossover.
Dom Toretto in like a Fast Family like dance sequence would be so funny. The concept of Vin Diesel trying to dance is just hysterical. I need to see that.
Also, you know what's a big takeaway here? Huge takeaway. What a fat fucking L for The Rock not being in this, by the way.
Yeah.
What an absolute L that, you know, we joked about it. We made fun of Vin Diesel's post. We made fun of Tyrese Gibson's post. Hindsight, I'll eat crow on that. This maybe it's because Black Adam was such a dud.
Yeah.
But like, what a big L taken by The Rock not being in this.
You see, he thought Black Adam was going to just take him from the number one star in the world to like this elite, like this mecca of just greatness. And it just flopped harder than hell. You know what, though? If it's true that they haven't shot 11 yet, like, and they're still looking for the villain, it wouldn't surprise me if he came back.
I don't know, though.
I know he hates Vin Diesel, and like
he's the number one lawman.
He's playing hard to get, but like Black Adam just bombed. His schedule opened up probably a little bit. It wouldn't surprise me.
I want Hobbs and Shaw too. I like Hobbs and Shaw too.
But I'm with you, Chris. Trust me, because like while I'm watching the trailer, I'm thinking this. I'm like, God, what if he came back? But then it ends, and I'm like, it was so ugly. It was so bad that I just don't know.
It's like his only successful franchise he's really been a part of, right? Like,
Mummy doesn't count because he jumped on board that one.
Like Jumanji, not really because they had this,
Jumanji's pretty Jumanji's, successful. Yeah,
Jumanji's the successful. First Jumanji, the second one's like okay. Like I think both of them are like just okay. But like let's say like a franchise that like everyone's like super pumped up about. Like you know what I mean? Like I think Fast and Furious is that franchise, and partially because of what you're saying, Chris, where it's like. A lot of people do have that mentality. Like, I made a fucking TikTok on LCB making fun of the Fast trailer. And people are like, these are big, stupid movies you could shut your brain off in. And you don't have to like, they're not good. But that's the way we like them. It's like, yeah, but like, you could still make fun of it. Yeah. Like, just because it's stupid doesn't mean you can't make fun of it. It's not S.H.I.E.L.D.
I like this Noah Wikipedia for Fast 10. According to reports, Gal Gadot reprises her role in one of the two versions of the film test screen for audiences. It's like, all right, wonder which one we're getting. Kendrick's favorite actress, Gal Gadot.
I you know what I really can't wait for is, what was the Netflix one she's coming out with, like Heart of Stone or whatever?
Where she's awesome.
CIA agent Rachel Stone. Fuck me, dude. Let's be done with Gal Gadot.
I like the trailer music too, before we move on. They used the Bone Thugs and Harmony, like a restructured version of it. Love that.
It will do wonders for this franchise to go back to its roots. And I know it's been said too, so it's not like we're only just noticing this, but like it will do a lot of good for them, because I think there's still an odd amount of goodwill for this franchise. And again, I'm watching the trailer and I'm expecting something dumb. And the second I see them line up in a street race, I go, ah, all right. Like, okay.
Yeah.
Like,
All right, you got me a little bit here. He's like, hey, Dom, like, no one's trying to buy these like Panasonic DVD TV player combinations that we just stole and hijacked.
VHS collection. Especially if you're a Red Letter Media, VHS collecting is on the up and up again.
I already started. I have my collection's growing. That's true.
What am I talking about? I sit next to you and you have I'm just saying.
You know what's going to be awesome is like 20 years from now, like Vin Diesel, like this character Dom is going to get like the Logan treatment and get like, I want like a nice gritty down to earth send off for him, where he just goes back. He builds a muscle car. Like he's working in a mechanic shop. Like
it's in the desert.
No one's seen him in years. Yeah. No one's seen him in years.
The title of it's just going to be Dom.
Yes.
Family.
The villain of Fast 11 is just like a VHS and Funko Pop collector. Just some guy just like him. In his man cave,
I could see Robert Downey Jr. as a Funko Pop collector. That would be a good role for him.
Gary V is the main villain for the next one. He ripped off Grandma Toretto at a garage sale and broadcasted it on Facebook Live.
One of the VHSs falls off the back of the truck from the first movie, but it really goes into the villain's car, and it's like Back to the Future. That's how it all started.
Time travel has got to happen.
Oh yeah,
it's not this one. I don't think it's happening in this one, just based on the trailer. But it's coming at some point.
It'll be something just really gross and tasteless, like bringing back and see Paul Walker. Just like it'll be something.
Yeah, that was my guess.
I'm even surprised. Like they had the scene in the trailer where Shaw and what's his name,
Sung Kang Ho,
and Han. They reunite and they're like, hey, what's up? He's like, you ready for this? Yeah. It's like, dude, he tried to kill you. Like, not that far removed from this point in time. Yeah. Like, you guys should not be friends.
Rita Moreno's in this movie. Yeah. We didn't touch on that at all, but like,
yeah. Wait, was she in the last one though?
The cast list is hilarious. It's like Rita Moreno, Helen Mirren.
Oh, Thad Castle's in this one too, which is kind of cool.
Was she in Alan it? Richardson? Was she in the last one, Rita Moreno?
I don't know.
Helen was, but
her title isn't even like whatever Toretto's mom's name is. It's just Abuela Toretto. Like
Abuela.
Yeah, that's what I said. Abuela Toretto. They couldn't even give her like an actual first name.
Oh no, she wasn't in it. Rita Moreno, kind of assumed she was because we met the other kid. Okay. All right.
Oh yeah, I forgot fucking John Cena as what a terrible role for him that is. He was so bad in that last Fast movie. Like
his hair looks better. His hair looks better than the last. The wig in Fast 9 was awful. With the slick back hair. A real piece of shit.
Big time. he was just like that movie. And that one, we talked about this too. I remember when you reviewed Bumblebee. Like there's some movies where they just typecast John Cena as if he's still some like the Marine action star or something like that.
He's coming off of 12 rounds. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, that's just not the type of dude he is. That's not his strengths. You know?
I don't think he works unless it's comedy.
He's really good at comedy. He's good at it.
Like Peacemaker and the role he had in Trainwreck. Like he's and good blockers. At that. What was the fireman movie he did? That stupid Nickelodeon.
Keegan Michael Key. Yeah.
Ladder something. Yeah.
It was something. Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure it was shitty. But as a dramatic actor, like action star, I don't think he works. Yeah.
Yeah. He was good in the dramatic moments in Peacemaker, though. I will give him that.
He did
surprise. Yeah. But yeah, but no, he definitely needs to lead as a. Yeah. You got to lead in with comedy, I think, with him. I do agree with that.
Next one, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. The Guardians of the Galaxy are adjusting the life on nowhere, but when parts of Rocket's past resurface, Peter Quill must lead the Guardians on a dangerous mission to protect him. So it's a lot around the origins of Rocket, which we've been told.
They crucified him.
They crucified
our favorite raccoon.
I know.
How could they do that to him?
Two big villains and characters in it. It's Will Poulter as Adam Warlock, who was introduced in the post-credits scene of the previous movie a long time ago.
Yeah.
And then the High Evolutionary seems to be the main villain. Chukwudi Uwuji, I believe is how you say his
name. Also from Peacemaker.
In Peacemaker. Yeah. He's a scientist who you clearly see some sort of – he's trying to make like a – he's trying to turn all living beings into like the perfect thing, especially basically space Nazi. Mengele. You see like a flashback of him and what it appears, because then it looks like his present day, or at least in this movie version, has like a RoboCop look to him, right?
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
His fucking face is stretched around a robot. So, I mean, not a ton of different stuff than the last movie, but you can tell there's some more emotional death things that are about to happen with these characters. So, I mean, I'm still endlessly excited for this.
Drax is toast.
James Gunn.
Way too many cute critters. Like, he's going to rip our hearts out. There were so many cute little – the otter, the golden retriever, which we saw in the holiday special. Groot looks cute.
In the first one, I believe, though. That was his first appearance.
Yes, that's right.
Dude, little baby Rocket. He's so cute. They're going to sell so many little baby – they're going to sell so many little baby Rocket toys.
Holy shit. When they hold each other's hands while they're floating, maybe the cutest thing in the world. Like, damn, he picks good animals. Although I'm not sure if that's canon for Guardians or the otter anyway.
Oh, I don't think anything that they do with Guardians is very much canon. Yeah, I think he kind of picked the comic because he was allowed to do whatever he wants with it.
Yeah, that's fair. Drax is definitely toast. I think Drax dies. I think probably another main character's got to die. I don't think it'll be Rocket or Groot, though. I don't know why.
You think Peter ends up with Nebula? They're kind of giving each other that look.
They were given the look. I never know what to say.
The idea that they're not going to appear in other Marvel stuff after this is the most nonsense thing I've ever heard. They're going to be in Kang Dynasty. They're going to be in Secret Wars. Like, it's just going to happen. Like, I'm sorry.
You already said that. Yeah, right. That it's just their last standalone. Right. Yeah. That for the Guardians. And then
like,
be but
I could
ones.
See a few dying. Like, I could absolutely see that.
Yeah.
Like, I assume that's going to happen. Not a ton on this, though, which I like. They didn't really show. I was hoping we didn't see too much more, and they really didn't. They kind of just showed a few different angles and scenes and stuff.
No 4-minute trailer. I mean, has Marvel lost it? Like, they lost their fastball?
I was just going to say,
I love that everything seemed pretty self-contained too, like the Guardians franchise. Like, there's no cameos. There's no like other characters. Like, it's the Guardians. It's the Guardians team. They're dealing with their own shit. Like, I like that because I think Marvel has fallen trapped to itself a little bit and trying to be overly interconnected in points where it just has no business being connected. Like, Love and Thunder, the Guardians didn't need to be in that movie at all.
And if they should have. The thing is, they weren't in it enough. You either have to be in it enough or has to be a really short cameo, but it was kind of like a weird in between.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we were excited for that too after the end of Endgame, because it was like, as Guardians of the Galaxy, look at this. This is going to be cool. Like, we're going to get like a combination of what was, at least at that point, like Thor was like the top Avenger leaving that movie. And also, like, especially Fat Thor, everyone was all in on Fat Thor. And then the Guardians, which are incredible. Oh, don't boo Fat Thor. Everyone loved Fat Thor, and you know
it. Fat Thor was funny for 3 minutes.
When he was gaming, it was funny. You know it was funny.
He should have gotten skinny by the end of the movie. Once he powered up, he should have gone back to skinny Thor.
To be like Shaq and like play his way back into shape, basically.
Yes. Like, yes, exactly. Exactly.
But him and the Guardians are like two of like the funniest, best superhero combinations. And like to have them together for 20 seconds was just kind of.
Yeah. Well, best part of the movie still. I actually liked the way Love and Thunder opened. And I think they were a big reason for that. But,
What else on this? I think that's it. Oh, because I'm in Austin, I'm not able to go see Ant-Man on Tuesday night, but Kendrick will be going to see that. I am jealous.
Back-to-back Cocaine Bear and Ant-Man. That's going to be a fun 2 nights.
I think Cocaine Bear I do get to see today, so I'm excited for that. But otherwise, I do not. Kind of a bummer. Miss out. But I will be seeing it this weekend. Very excited for Ant-Man. We will be reviewing Ant-Man and the Wasp. Not Ant-Man and the Wasp. Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania next week. You did see Creed 3.
I did Creed 3. We're allowed to do social sentiments. We can't review it. It was awesome. I would say, without spoiling because that would technically be ranking, which is against the rules. Really, really good. Awesome debut from Michael B. Jordan as a director. A lot of risks, which is, I feel like, kind of rare if you're a rookie, but all paid off. fight scenes were like, people were like legit reacting to the fight scenes in this movie, especially in IMAX. I would definitely recommend IMAX. They were reacting like they're watching a real boxing fight, like, or boxing.
Cool. Yeah, there was a couple insane scenes fully shot on IMAX, right?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. And they were fucking sick. They were really, really good. A lot of fights too.
Yeah. I'm very excited. Very excited for that. What else? I think that's it for the big ones. Let's do a quick read for 3Chi here. 3Chi is a fantastic product. We talked about it. How many times have we talked about it on this podcast? Many, many times.
I would
times
say we're approaching 2,000.
First of all, if you like flying, 3Chi is great. 3Chi is the highest quality cannabis products from their delicious Delta 9 edibles and their industry-leading Delta 8 products. And guess what? Before we get into what they have, 50% discount on all three Chi's premium THC by going to 3Chi, the number 3CHI.com. You can use promo code LIGHTS15, LIGHTS15. Take 15% off your order. When you buy 3Chi, you're getting the highest quality products, purity, taste, all that. Potent buzz. It's not CBD. It's not going to just calm you down. You're going to get a high from it. It is a high-quality cannabis product, and they have so many great products, so many delicious things. Also, must be 21 or older to purchase, so if you're not 21, I do apologize. You'll have to wait. But when you are 21, and if you are 21 right now, 3Chi, the way to go. The gummies are fantastic. The snacks are they're a problem. And I mean that in a good way. Like, they are just delicious.
They taste good. Yeah, they just taste they good.
It's a delicious large cookie. They have their what are they? I almost said cereal. They're kind of like cereal bars. They're Rice Krispie treat type things. But they're like cereal bars. They have drink flavor additives. They also have, yes, Kendrick's holding up 100 of them.
this ad gets cut for YouTube, but yes.
they have peanut butter balls. The brownies are great. Actually, I think they're sold out of the brownies right now, so sorry about that. But yeah, they have great stuff. They have flavorless stuff too. Like, if you're thinking like, fuck that, I don't want 3Chi, I don't want to taste anything, guess what? You don't have to. They have flavorless additives as well.
I love that fictional character. The guy's just like, I fucking hate taste, dude. Tasting stuff is fucking stupid.
Taste. 3Chi makes a gummy that tastes like just mid. Like,
yes.
Just tastes like seeds and stems.
It just tastes like a concept. Doesn't even taste like anything.
Oh my God. I had a great flight with them on Friday on the way back from Arizona. I took a 3Chi before the flight. Watched Midnight in Paris and Eternal Sunshine. Nice little flight.
Problematic Robbie. Everyone knew it.
What?
Midnight in Paris ass.
What about it? Oh, because of Woody Allen?
Yes. Yeah.
Wait, well, what about
art, it? Art from the artist.
I'm not saying anything for a reason, because I will continue to stand that movie. I'm sorry.
Great picture.
Dude, what's his face as God damn it. Who wrote The Old Man and the Sea? What's his name?
Hemingway. Corey Stoll.
Yeah, him. Yeah, him as Hemingway is so funny. He's just such an asshole.
Good movie. Guy married a stepdaughter. Still kind of weird.
Yeah. I would say it's more than a kind of, but yeah. Back to the three.
Arguably minor
bugaboo on the resume. Yeah.
Although technically, if he just did that like nowadays, apparently it would be in. I mean, if you look on any porn site, that's like the number one search thing.
Stepdad, what are you doing?
I know.
Making a movie, about fictional writers from the past?
Just Woody Allen was too bleeding edge.
That's 3Chi. And now, less, I guess, smaller trailers. They're the smaller moments in trailers. 65, that is the aliens or dinosaurs. I guess dinosaurs with Adam Driver. We saw a trailer for that a while ago. Not a crazy trailer here. It's mostly just like a TV spot, an ad. But are we like, what do we think about this? Where do we stand on this now? I guess.
No idea. It could be like one of those movies that's a massive surprise, or it could be an absolute train wreck.
After a catastrophic crash on an unknown planet, pilot Mills quickly discovers he's stranded on Earth 65 million years ago. Now, with only one chance of rescue, he finds another person or some shit, and there's fucking dinosaurs and all this stuff. Yeah.
I think the one thing I took away from this is still the same thing I had from the last trailer, which is like, I'm happy for it because Jurassic World Jurassic in general does not deserve a monopoly on dinosaur movies. I feel like that they haven't earned it. They have one good movie, like one amazing, incredible blockbuster movie like one or two okay ones, and the rest are not good. So like they have done nothing to earn that. And I think that there should be more dinosaur movies because dinosaurs are awesome. They're fucking cool. So I don't know, but this could end up sucking. So
this looks completely mid to me. The only reason why I'm somewhat, interested, it is just Adam Driver. Yeah. Adam Driver is one of my favorite actors working. And I feel like even the movies he's in that are bad have some merit to them. I feel like he wouldn't have taken on this project unless he felt like there was something he could really sink his teeth into. Yeah. No pun intended.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Damn it.
Were you about to make that joke? Okay. Yeah. I hope it's good for his sake because, he's excellent in everything that he's done. So, yeah.
That gun looked awesome. I really like their gun. That's a sweet gun. Mm-hmm. That reminds me of like a gun that would be like on like one of those rides at Universal. Like, have you ever done like the Men in Black ride there?
That's yeah, which is not there anymore.
What?
Do you know what it is?
They didn't change that to the Jimmy Fallon ride, did they?
Yes, they did, my friend.
Oh,
fuck.
The race thing.
What is that?
Wait, it's maybe like I'm wrong. Wait, I could be wrong on that. I could be wrong on that.
They have the Men in Black ride, the Kong ride. The Kong ride's still there, right?
No, Jimmy Fallon replaced Twister, which is even more criminal.
What was that one like?
I don't remember that one.
You just went through. That's an older one. That was one that had like Jaws and back then. They went through. You basically went through like Twister. Like everything moved around and shit. And it was very cool.
Yeah.
Men in Black Alien Attacked was replaced. I don't know what was replaced by. Is that still open?
That ride rules. I hope so.
It seems to still be open. That's surprising. Okay. That one replaced Back to the Future, which again, it's another disappointing thing.
When I was like 4 or 5 years old, my family took me and my brother to Universal to go see Men in Black Alien Attack. And it was a few years after the first Men in Black had come out. And the line was, completely out there. I mean, it was hundreds of people just waiting in line for this thing for probably about an hour, hour and a half. And then some foreign guy came out of the exhibit and said, "You're waiting for nothing. This line isn't running. Come back later." And then we just left. And that was it. Never got a chance to see it.
What an experience.
To this day. Yeah.
It'd be kind of cool if they could just tape it and like let people experience the ride without having to go to Universal. Although that would be one of the most anti-profitable.
There are some rides that are like that. Like you can watch the Terminator ride is like available online. Yeah.
See, like I would love to do that. Like, I would love to see like what some of the rides in like Disney World and Universal are like. But like at the same time, I don't want to go to a theme park and wait in line for 50 hours to do any of these things. I just kind of want to see what's the experience.
I think Ride of the Banshee is on YouTube. I could be wrong on that. Jeff would probably know.
That's how the Avatar, right? About the experience Disney, by the way, in one of the most unbelievable ways possible.
Yes, that's true.
But as first trip as a full VIP tour when we go to Star Wars in March.
I'm gonna have my splash
pass. You're gonna wait for essentially nothing.
Who's going on that trip, by the way?
Me, Ken, Jack, Clem, and Robbie, and I've Dave. We were gonna wear Jedi robes, and Dave is like, "That's not acceptable. Like we need to go full fucking cosplay." Like, he's like Jabba the Hutt. I was like, So I'm like actually stressed about it. So that is 65 paint. I actually didn't see this until this morning.
Yeah. Looks kind of dry.
It took you a second, it clicked. Looks
like watching paint dry.
Yeah, folks.
When you see the screenshot for it, you're like, "Oh, is this a
Bob Ross?
A Bob Ross biopic?" But it's not. It's clearly a movie based on not Bob. It's kind of like Weird Al almost. It's like that. Yeah. It's weird. No pun intended again. Film centers on Carl Nargle, which is I like that name.
Great name.
Vermont's number one painting show for nearly three decades. While Carl's signature whisper has long kept viewers from Pittsfield to St. Albans breathlessly hanging on his every stroke. Oh, yeah. The station eventually hires a younger, better painter, steals everything and everyone Carl loves. Michaela Watkins, Stephen Root, Denny Dillon. Directed by Britt McAdams, which I believe directorial debut there, but Owen Wilson the main one in this. IFC Films, which does make good movies.
Yeah.
They distribute good movies, but it is I don't truly know, but I hadn't watched it until this morning. I was kind of fascinated by it.
Yeah. I just keep thinking about, what was that last Owen Wilson movie with Salma Hayek that was awful?
That was
Blink or something, or it was fuck.
It was the Amazon movie. I gave it a zero. Bliss.
Bliss. That was it. Yeah, that movie was.
It's one of the most offensive movies I've ever watched in my life, and not in like offended me way. It's like offensive that it exists.
Yeah, it's real bad. But also, like, he was in other good stuff. Like, he was in Loki. He was killed it in Loki.
Midnight in Paris.
He was in Midnight in Paris, Guchman's favorite movie, because he loves the director so much. But he also, I like Owen Wilson. I like to see him getting more roles, and if it's going to be something like more, with more thought into it than fucking Bliss, then yeah, all for it. I'm into
Bill,
weird shit.
Bill Nye, the science guy, was in Bliss.
Was he?
He's on the cast sheet right here. It says cast Salma Hayek, Owen Wilson.
It might have been like an insert type thing where it's like, oh, he's doing this, like a cameo. I don't remember it being. I remember the twist of that movie, and I remember how upset I was. Oh,
a mind bending love story of people who believe they're in a simulated reality. I might have to see this.
Fucking mad.
You have your own assignments to see good movies like Mission Impossible and Fast and Furious.
Don't waste your time.
I'm so drawn to shit, aren't I?
it's not.
It's so bad.
What was the movie that came out a few years ago that also it turned out like the big twist at the end was that they were in a virtual reality?
Serenity.
I was going to say Serenity. Oh, Serenity with Ben Affleck, not fucking Ben Affleck, Matthew McConaughey and Anne Hathaway.
Dad Boat, the guy was virtually fucking his own mom.
Yeah.
It was very, very really? Close up. Oh, yeah. No, that was a kid playing. He was a kid. He made this video game and he was playing as his dad and he was fucking his mom playing as his dad. It was just an insane movie. Fuck, Dad Boat. What's his name in it? Kendall Roy was in it.
Everyone was in that movie.
Jeremy Strong was in it. Our boy was in it too. Damn. So many good actors in that.
We talked about
that movie was from Steven Knight, the guy who I believe created Peaky Blinders, and we were all like, "Damn, let's see, this is gonna be cool. Peaky Blinders is awesome," and it sucked so bad. Just remember, like the Kendall Roy character. What's his name?
Serenity.
Reed Miller.
Anne Hathaway.
Dude, Jason Clark, Jaimin Hansu. Yes, I'm like, yeah.
We asked Jaimin Hansu about it when we interviewed him, and he's like, I don't know. They sent us out to Mauritius for like a vacation. And I don't know what happened.
No, you asked him about it, and he immediately started laughing.
He cracked up. He immediately cracked up. He just started laughing.
He knew. He's like, this is just shit.
He's like, look, I don't know. They flew me out there. It was a fun vacation, and I don't know what happened after that. And I respect
also,
that.
Also, speaking of Jaimin Hansu, how about nobody knowing what Blood Diamond was on the
The dozen the other day, nobody got Blood Diamond.
The question was Blood Diamond. The answer was Blood Diamond. No, the
question was Leonardo DiCaprio starred in this 2005 political thriller.
Was there any other hint to it? That might be hard on its own.
Yeah, the political thing confused people, but I guess
The Aviator.
I might have guessed what was the one he did with Russell Crowe or
Body of Lies, I think.
Ridley Scott movie. Just based on political.
Yeah, Ken Jack was almost called as a phone a friend. They calling nobody. They kind of bricked it. Didn't matter in the end. But
I've been called for movies one time. Hubs called me. But yeah,
You've been called before. Nick, our good friend of the show, Nick Terraney, is the most. I think the most or top three most accurate question answerer on the show. He's never been called, not one time.
That's bizarre.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
I guess because he doesn't have like a.
That's
true...
what he said. But we're going to be looking into that. He's looking into that for a future video.
People don't know that what the listeners and watchers of the dozen don't know is that off screen Nick is an absolute prick and
big asshole.
just a horrible guy to be around. Unfunny.
He's got a work phone. He turns it off at 3 o'clock. No one actually has his personal number, so it's tough to get
a hold of him. Assistant like shit, dude. Yeah. It's so mean.
I can't even pretend to be mean to Nick. It makes me feel weird. I love him so much.
He hasn't talked to KB in 3 years.
Yeah. they have to record
they're
anus
like, they're like Mike
rooms.
And Mike. Yeah, they're like Mike.
I was about to say Opie and Anthony. But yeah.
They green screen KB into the room. Yeah.
Dude, Quiggs is unbelievable.
Great editing.
The last trailer that's worth talking about in full, we'll do a quick hit if anyone's anything on the blockbuster movies, but Air. the Nike movie. It is about Sonny Vaccaro, a shoe salesman at Nike, who signs Michael Jordan to a deal to wear their shoes. That Barry's kind of the big lead here. Ben Affleck directing, yeah. Matt Damon in the lead role as Sonny Vaccaro. Ben Affleck plays Phil Knight, Jason Bateman, Chris Messina, Marlon Wayans, Chris Tucker, Viola Davis. There are a ton of people in this movie, and I'm very excited for this.
Yeah. Me too.
Affleck has had misses for sure, but for the most part, he does not. He's typically pretty good with these.
Live by Night is bad. Live by Night was bad.
But his first three were
amazing. Gone, Baby Gone, amazing. Town, amazing. Argo, amazing. But he can miss is more the point.
Yeah, he's capable of missing. That's the better point. Okay.
Yeah.
With that said, though, for the most part, when he gets behind the camera, when he gets behind a project, it is something worth noting. And I'll tell you what, I love that there's no Michael Jordan in this movie.
Yes.
I love that it's just his parents. There's just something about that it's dumb, but it makes me trust this movie. It makes me trust that they're looking at one of the most major, important, number one event in the history of Nike. And I like when they focus on one small event, no Michael Jordan, no distraction. I love that.
One of the biggest moments in sports marketing history, just in general. And I agree with that because it turns it from being a kind of cool, interesting story about the back end of all this, which is what we are more, I guess, curious about as casual fans of it. But from being hey, look, it's Michael Jordan. It's basically a Super Bowl commercial at that point. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's hey, look, here's the dude. But I'd prefer to see the more nitty gritty stuff of this on the back end, because I only know, at least for, I can't speak for you guys. I only know Michael Jordan signing with them is what made Nike what they are today, and that they're on the downswing before that. But I have no idea the details, the nitty gritty of it going that actually happened around his signing.
So I was talking I just texted with our friend Kirk Minahan, who is going to come on, by the way, before the Oscars. We're going to do an Oscar set with him, but
Kirk's movie knowledge is insane. He's so smart with that shit.
He's such sharp guy.
We were talking in the car the other day, and we were in Arizona, and I was mentioning downsizing. And I said, we should do a draft of movies, or a draft of movies that had Oscar hype in the beginning of the year that sucked.
Sun.
You have to do some research on that, but it'd be funny. But he was saying too, we're just talking about Air, and he said, it's a great example of that is if they'd cast Nixon in All the President's Men, that takes away so much from that movie. One of those things where the more you don't.
Holy shit. Yeah. I was about to say that exact same thing. Oh my God.
That's as good of an example as that's as good an example as it gets. If you show these types of characters, it really pulls you out of it. It can't be easy. It can't be easy to get the rights to do a movie about Michael Jordan and Nike and not put Michael Jordan in it. It can't, but I think once you get to that point where he's not in it, that's perfect.
I would argue putting Nixon in any movie is distracting for some reason.
Yeah.
And I don't know him more than any other president. Just feel in Days of Future Past, it was just so bad.
He's like a caricature.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just they all do. Everyone that has to play him does his really bizarre accent.
Except for Frank Langella, didn't look like him.
Yes, exactly.
Right. And that's the best version.
Wait, there was – who was he? He was in Watchmen, right? They had someone play Nixon in Watchmen. One I remember kind of enjoying.
Watchmen is one of the worst political cameos ever. They have fucking Kissinger in it too. And
Hell yeah. Henry Kissinger. How is that dude still alive? Henry Kissinger was old during Vietnam. How the fuck is he still alive?
That is crazy.
It's all the child blood.
Who was he friends with, Henry Kissinger?
I don't want to see – Patrick Mahomes get hurt. You don't want to root for injuries.
Why are we hearing?
And I said,
Smitty.
And
who's playing?
He's a Nixon guy. Smitty is a Nixon guy.
Somebody watching a clip of Smitty?
Chris, were you watching a clip of Smitty?
Oh shit! I forgot to mute my mic for a second. I was seeing what I was. I'm like, oh, Smitty, you're talking. Shit, I'm sorry, guys. I was trying to see what he was complaining about on PixCentral.
Is Henry Kissinger friends with?
He's friends with a lot of people, bad people.
Someone really, for the most part, something really stupid. Oh yeah, Elizabeth Holmes.
That makes perfect sense.
He invested perfect, in Theranos. Yeah, he's big into Theranos. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
All right, quick hits, and then we're going to talk about The Last of Us, and then we're going to do a draft.
One thing on Air. I do want to say high hopes for it because it's not a sports movie with sports. It is a sports movie focused on something. That is my biggest pet peeve is when these movies, because it just never looks right. It almost never looks right.
Shoehorn it in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like the gameplay, like you're not going to be able to recreate like Michael Jordan. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Don't even try. Yeah. So the behind the business stuff, always the right move in my opinion.
All right. Yeah. If you have anything to say about these movies, speak. Transformers, Rise of the Beasts, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, Luther, and then Ken Jack, I know you will on this one. Dungeons and Dragons, Honor Among Thieves. They had big game spots. I don't have much to say on them. We didn't see too much. I'm a little more excited for Indiana Jones as time goes on. Like I've been excited, but like kind of getting some more energy for that.
Folks, Rise of the Beasts, that's what I call it when my wife's alarm goes off.
Hey, get no respect.
Actually, she got me tungsten cubes for like a tungsten pair of dice for Valentine's Day. They're awesome. They're so cool. They're so heavy.
Love, I love tungsten. I said, babe, that's not the tongue I was asking for, babe.
Tungsten. Yeah. But yeah, Indiana Jones, I think I agree with you, Jeff. That one is the one I think out of this grouping of four, I'm definitely the most excited for. But also, like the de-aging looked awesome. Did that not look like a very much young good. Harrison Ford without looking like dog shit?
Did they get the guy from who did the re-edit of Luke? Is that Ooh. Am I making that up in my head?
He works for ILM now, right?
Does he really?
Or yes. he got contracted to do? He helped them with the Mandalorian, so mm-hmm. or with Boba Fett. He whatever. I know he was used for help.
Yeah,
yeah. Real quick, Gooch. The only thing I'll say about any of these movies is the only one that gives me some like excitement is Indiana Jones, solely because of James Mangold.
Mm, he's a beast. Like, he's such a good director.
Yeah.
The score got me pumped when that score came through. Like that score is just awesome.
You know what doesn't that fucking title, Dial of Destiny, that stinks. I'm sorry.
I'm not used to that yet.
Like The Last Crusade, that's cool. Raiders of the Lost Ark, that's cool. Temple of Doom, that was a cool title. Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, kind of. Maybe I'm looking terrible. Back on that. Yeah, that's bad. And Dial of Destiny is stinky. That's a stinky title.
Maybe. My stock is still very high on that movie.
Dial guy? Do you just love dials?
Yeah. Yeah. Big fan of the brand.
That's like Gucci's like number one complaint in every movie. He's like, not enough dials in this. 4 stars. Got to take one off. No dials.
What the fuck? They're using clocks? Come on. Yeah, but my stock is still way high on the stock on Transformers is plummeting for me.
Yeah.
I think the CGI looks very reminiscent of the old, you know, just the weird Transformers stuff where you don't really see them transform.
The old Transformers transformations.
The first
were sick.
One. I'm talking about the first movie. One was good. I think it got worse as it went on.
The CG in the first Transformers is so fucking good.
I think we talked about this. The thing is that it's because they kind of scaled back in the first Transformers. And then they kept adding more and more and more. And it's one of those things where a little bit doesn't look that crazy to the eyes. A lot, it begins to look absurd.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. And I don't like this Mirage guy, this Mirage robot. Like, I'm not a fan. I just want Bumblebee. Come on.
I want a Cybertron movie, to be honest. Like a movie that takes place, no humans, just have Transformers beating the fuck out of each other on Cybertron.
Well, that's
I
the think thing, again. It's like that. The beginning of Bumblebee was what people called the best Transformers thing we've ever seen. If they don't, like, do that.
Mm-hmm.
Transformers has cool lore, too. Like, do you know, like, the story behind, like, the Metatron? And, like, it's a really cool, like, little bit of lore, the little story that they set up, like, where Optimus was, like, basically the Padawan to Metatron before he turned evil. Like it's kind of cool. Like the Cybertron stuff. I wouldn't hate that, but I can't imagine they do a movie without like human faces.
That would be an entirely CGI movie too. Like there would not be a practical effect to be found. So it would be a mess maybe, but like maybe even just do an animated one. I don't know.
Yeah. Do an animated movie.
I brought this up before with Jurassic Park. You could do Transformers the way they did those apes movies. Like I think those movies really set, and Avatar to a certain extent, have really set the precedent in terms of like you don't necessarily need human protagonists in your movie. Like CG characters can work as your main villains and your main hero.
Yeah, that's true.
I guess that is it for trailers.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. When you're at your best, you can do great things, but sometimes life gets you bogged down and you may feel overwhelmed or like you're not showing up the way that you want to. Working with a therapist can help you get closer to the best version of you. because when you feel empowered, you're more prepared to take on everything that life throws at you. We talk about therapy all the time in this podcast, obviously super important. I used BetterHelp over the course of the pandemic when I couldn't get to my regular therapist. It was really helpful, really easy for more reasons than one. If you're thinking of giving therapy a try, BetterHelp is a great option. It's convenient, flexible, affordable, and entirely online. Just fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched up with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. If you want to live a more empowered life, therapy can get you there. Visit BetterHelp.com/lights and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/lights.
The Last of Us. Not on Friday. It's not the day after. It came out on Friday night because of the Super Bowl. Makes sense. Good call. I did like how people were like, what a genius move. It's like, oh, I mean, it seems
pretty like you could be a monkey and make that decision.
So this we are now fully in Kansas City in this one. The battle between which I guess let me start with a bigger thing here. First off, awesome episode.
Yes.
Really good episode, great characters introduced with Henry, just and Sam, his brother, I'm going to ask the big question, so I'll pause. There's something about the way this show is written and paced that is so perfect. And it has a patience and it trusts us all. Again, we talked about this. What was the movie we talked about that respected and trusted its audience? Oh, Megan.
Yeah.
There's something about when you respect your audience that just always gets me. I will always appreciate that. And it respected the audience is okay with a slower show, with characters and storylines and dialogue developing, or moments where we hear no talking whatsoever, where you just feel the emotion on screen. And then it can still end in an absolute bananas battle with the clickers, with the zombies, with the blurbs, like just fucking awesome. This was an awesome episode. And I'll tell you what, I forgot to download it before my flight. Shout out to Southwest Airlines. Their Wi-Fi held up. I watched the whole thing, streamed it on the flight. It had one pause. I had to quit out and restart one time. This episode was fantastic. But the big question is, I know one change was Sam was not deaf in the game, right?
Wait, he was not deaf, no.
Correct. Which changed up the way they communicate, which I thought was brilliant.
It was cool.
Yeah. What were the big differences this week compared to the game?
That was basically other than the whole Melanie Lynskey Raider thing. Like it was just like nameless, faceless Raiders that were coming to kill you and Chris.
Oh, really? Okay. Her character in general is more of a fleshed out
character.
The entire basically that level is way more fleshed out. Like the Sam and Henry stuff, you don't get a ton of, like, you don't know that they're like snitches, or you don't know that they're rats or anything. Like, he's not deaf, he doesn't have leukemia. Like, you just meet them, they kind of stumble upon you, and they're like, these hunters are after us. Like, I know how to get out of the city, follow us. Yeah. Like, let's work together on this.
You know the scene where they go underground to the tunnels and they find like that whole school and all that? Mm-hmm. That level fucking sucks. It is so hard. It's like you're fighting through infected that entire time through the underground, and then you pop up, and then they basically, so the sniper scene in the movie, in the show, that is almost like one for one, like exactly how it looks in the game. Like the level, the way they shaped every single part, like it looked like they recreated the exact set to look exactly like the level, and like the camera angles they use are exactly the same too. It was fucking crazy. And I think they're able to like, I think the biggest takeaway from this episode too, especially, is just like they're able to satisfy, like, I know for at least me and Gooch, like the video game parts of our brain. And they're also able to like add in all of this new stuff, which makes the stuff that's impactful in the game even harder. Like the end of this episode, obviously devastating people left and right. Yeah. Like we knew that was coming in just from the game, but like the way that they went about it, I thought was even better, because like, we're in spoilers, right? Mark that for sure. So like in the game, you just kind of wake up and Sam's already going insane, like he's already infected and all that stuff. But like the fact that they had that whole bit where he's sitting there like, I'm going to turn, like, can you help me? And she tries to like do something and just fix it. And like, you're like, oh, maybe they're going to do a little change here. Maybe he's going to live. And man, that's just, that scene was just brutal, and they just executed it perfectly. Just such a good scene.
That's kind of my big thing, is that I was comparing it to The Leftovers. I love The Leftovers. a lot of it's hindsight. And I think the last season of Leftovers is really well done. I think a lot of people kind of move back on that. We're like, oh shit, they actually ended this well. But the first season of Leftovers had a big problem. It didn't help that it came out in the summer. It was just depressing. And it never gave you hope or anything. It was just so dour. You're like, God. You're like, what the fuck? Like, can they have like some glimmer of hope? And this show is not the most hope-filled show ever either. But even like three episodes ago, right, the Bill and Frank episode, there's still a sense of hope throughout, like some terrible stuff in that episode. This episode, that you're right, that ending when the kid gets shot and then he kills himself, you're like, what the fuck? Because for the most part, it was a pretty upbeat episode, which is not saying a lot, but like you're like, okay, they're kind of on the more positive track.
Yeah.
It's like things are going well. And then you're like, okay, maybe not. But even then, when they bury them and they move on and they move out west, you get a different set. Like even the, what's she write? I'm sorry on the.
Yeah, that was cool. Yeah, just sketch, great.
Whatever it's
called. Yeah. And, but what is that thing called officially, by the way?
I don't know.
I used to have one of those where you write it and you rip the paper. Oh.
That's cool though. I like that device.
Yeah,
that was, also that was, I like how one of the scenes they took from the game, which I thought was cool, was like when he shoots himself, like they cut to black, and like that's what makes that scene super impactful in the game. And I feel like they did something similar in this episode.
Yeah.
And then they cut to that whole like bit with them burying them, which I thought was great. That was, this whole episode was amazing. Gooch,
slate paper. Yeah, I love that. But anyway, my point, and then I'll let you guys go. But that was like it continues even when it's at its darkest time. It kind of props you up with like a bit of hope for the characters, which I think it is important. You do need that. Like you need that a little bit to like not feel as if this is just a depressing downward thing that's going to suck the life out of you. Like I think you need a little glimmer of that. That's why it's written so well. And I'm sure it will at some point, but like it keep me going. Maybe in the end, pull the cord for me. Like if it ends negative, I think I kind of love that, but you got to keep me going throughout, right? You can't just start negative and never move up and down. And that's why I think it's written so well. And I guess integrated with the game so well.
Even like Frank and Bill, they're seeing like it is a romantic scene to it. Like, you know what I mean? Like the actual, like the, in the meta of it, it's sad, or like the micro of it, it's sad that they die. But like in the meta of it, like that was an insanely, like, I don't know, like heartwarming in a way moment, that whole scene. Like it was amazing. So there is that level.
It is interesting to me that this is created by the same people that created Chernobyl, because the last time I watched something where I truly didn't know how things were going to end episode to episode was Chernobyl. This is brilliant storytelling, what they're doing right here. This show is fucking amazing. Like I can't, you know, I know, call me cynical all you want. This is one of the best things you're going to see all year. And this was it was probably my favorite episode personally. I acknowledge episode 3 being like just such an offshoot from what people expected is probably the one that's going to stand out for the rest of the season.
Might be mine too, honestly, now the more I think about it.
Yeah, just between the action and the way that this in a short amount of time really gets you to care about these characters. And I think it's what makes the endings to these episodes so impactful where, you know, when Henry and Sam die, you're like, man, I fucking like them. Like, and you only get to know them for, you know, in terms of the screen time that they're on, 30 minutes, and yet you really grow an attachment to these characters. I've watched movies that are 2.5 hours long where you care less about these two characters that you saw for 30 minutes. This is hitting home runs every week. I can't express how amped this makes me while watching it. I think it is just masterfully done.
You're right. It's that like that caring of them, but then also the way they cut into it to make you kind of hate when he says he's a collaborator. He's like, oh, I don't work with rats. You're like, oh, I want to hate him, but you can't because then he explains why. Yeah, it's really good shit. Yeah,
it's a very unique show in the sense that even the villains aren't necessarily villains. They do such a spectacular job of making sure you understand every character's motivation that it's hard for you, and I mean this as a positive, it's hard for you to find someone to root against. Everyone in this situation is there because of unfortunate circumstances, things that happen to them. It's for a show that is science fiction, that does feature technically zombies, it is remarkably human with its storytelling in terms of these characters, and that's why I love it.
Gooch, you know what I loved, and I'm sure you appreciate this too, the bloater doing this move,
the head rip. Yeah.
If you get killed by that thing in the game, that's exactly the move he does to you. He like grabs you with one hand here and just like rips your fucking head
disgusting.
Off.
Disgusting.
Oh,
I take it the bloater in the game is like the boss.
It's the hardest guy to kill. It's
if there's okay, and this is not even a complaint, it's just an observation. If there's one minor thing I noticed, I can tell when it's a cutscene and when it's something that is like the sniper sequence. I'm like, this is in the game. And then when the bloater comes out, I can just imagine that in the game.
So but that actually wasn't that, the bloater scene wasn't in that level. You do fight bloaters, but not, I don't believe, and definitely not in that, that level. Okay, well,
yeah, it's just, I can tell.
Actually,
I could tell when it entered. I'm like, that's the one in the game that's the hardest to kill. What like, just the design of it? Yeah.
What when they went into that underground and they saw the floor moving in the fourth episode? That's what that was, right? It was the infected underground that just came out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What a great reveal that was too. Yeah. In the most recent episode, the ground opened up like
when they come pouring out of there. Like that's the type of zombie like situation. Like I'm just fucking jumping off a bridge. Like no fucking way. I'm gonna try and survive in that scenario.
I loved the horror elements of like bringing in like the little girl zombie too. Like that was like something straight out of like I don't know like Annabelle or like The Exorcist or like something like that.
When she moved, bring her back over the fucking seats.
They really do a great job of fucking with your expectations too. Cause I mean, I didn't play the game when I heard, oh, well, there's this underground tunnel, but there's no clickers in it. I'm like, of course there's going to be. And there wasn't. Like they do a really good job of, I don't even know if this is the thing, subverting the tension where it comes from a place where you don't expect it. And then when it happens, it's, it knocks you off your feet. This is great.
I like that scene too, where they kill the sniper Gooch. Cause you don't really get that scene. That was awesome. Yeah.
Just an old dude.
Don't do it.
Just doing his job. Yeah, dude. This is just it's a masterclass in adaptation. I really do think like
it really is.
Anybody looking to adapt original works into TV, into movies, like they need to take notes on this because this is beautifully done. Like you're taking the source material, you're paying respect to it in almost every facet, and then you're adding in and you're expanding on the lore that's already existing and you're making it better in some spots. Like Bill and Frank stuff was much improved in my opinion. The Sam and Henry stuff, very, very much improved because there was really nothing there to work with. And they made it this really just even more heartbreaking story than it already was with him being deaf, leukemia. They made, by the way, the child actor who played Sam, he was really, really good. And he's also a deaf actor. So, I mean, knocked it out of the park. And like you said, Chris, there's no real villains in the show. And the title and the little comic book mantra kind of paid homage to that. It's like endure and survive. Like everyone is just trying to endure and survive. Like
there are some bad guys in The Last of Us that are just straight up bad
assholes.
Yeah. Like the actual nameless and faceless raiders, they just suck. They're just
what? Yeah. Also, what is our final verdict on Melanie Lynskey? Because I do think this is, if the show has had one misstep so far, it is our casting.
I saw someone tweeting about that or someone tweeting like, oh, Melanie Lynskey doesn't fit this. She doesn't fit this. And it's just like, I think they gave her enough background where it's like she's like, if she's able to overthrow this whole government thing or Fedra and all this shit in Kansas City, then like, I believe her as this sort of villain. And she was like, I liked her delivery as like the more three-dimensional bad guy. Where it's just like, I have to kill you. Like, I don't have, this is what you've done. I cannot forgive. You need to die. There's no fairness in you living and my brother dying because of what you did. I understand why you did it. You still got to die. I kind of like it that
too. But like, what type of role would you, like, who would you have put there? I guess I viewed it, does she fit the leader of like Raiders? And like, no,
that's,
but she's,
that's what I mean.
But see,
that's the point.
But isn't the point that she's thrust into that role though?
See, what I would have liked to have seen, I think the general vibe I was getting off the writing of the role was like a Hans Landa, like looking for the rats, just kind of psychopathic behavior, a little unhinged. Like, are they crazy? Are they in control? Like, I don't think she necessarily knocked it out of the park.
Landa wasn't hunting Jews because like a Jew killed his brother or something. Like, you know what I mean? Like that there was motivation for what she was doing. Like Hans Landa was just a straight up evil dude. Like she was doing this stuff to get like revenge. It's more like a Django versus his old like masters thing of anything. Like if you're going to another Tarantino reference, like he's like, there is depth to why she's doing what she's doing, which I think is so much better in many respects to the game. Because in the game, they're just, again, nameless, faceless dudes that just want to kill you and steal your shit. That's it.
They're like, what are they called in the game? They're just called hunters, right?
Just hunters and raiders.
They basically, they want to kill all the kids too, if I remember right.
Because kill everyone, take your shit.
Yeah, because the kids get in the way of like just surviving. Like they're just a burden more than anything. And that's like their whole MO. So
yeah. Yeah. They just kill people and steal shit. I love that character.
The big question for me now is like, how much will this win? Will it win everything?
Get nominated for everything.
Yeah.
For sure. But will it, like, what else will come in and take this show spot? I don't know.
Succession is the only thing I see really.
Because we've been so long without it, I keep forgetting it's actually coming back. Succession will be very – but Succession, it does fall under drama. So
yeah.
It's also had such a run for the past three seasons that I could see the voters cooling off on it a little bit and saying, let's go in a different direction this year.
I don't know. They gave how many did what's her name get for Veep? Julie Louise Dreyfus.
She didn't win her last fucking year. That pissed me off so much.
Yeah.
I mean Phoebe Waller-Bridge won, so that's fine. Fleabag's very funny. But I was like, God, let her just win every year. Just let her do the dynasty which you swept every year. Yeah. So that's The Last of Us. Oh yeah, that's what I say. The next episode looks awesome. Just looks complete. I hope we see Taylor Sheridan riding a horse in the middle of one of the scenes. Yeah. Just
that whole level too. That's a lot of exploring more than anything when you get there. And I love that whole part in Wyoming and all that. It's great.
Very exciting. Except the only problem it's a longer wait now.
Yeah, exactly.
I did save to wait it a day, but now it's like, damn, I just want to get to that already.
I watched it Friday night. I was like, cancel any plans you have for going out, babe. We're staying in watching Last of Us. We're not going anywhere.
I'm very excited. Mandalorian is finally going to be a Wednesday night show, by the way. Like that, we haven't been able to experience Mandalorian on Wednesdays, and it always made those episodes seem shorter, especially like Andor and the stuff we liked. So I'm very excited for that. Draft. We're going to do a draft here of disappointing movies. No reason in particular. Just seems like a fun draft. This could be anything. And I think what we should establish, like, what we mean by that. And I mean, do we mean going into it or when it was first announced or just kind of anything in general? A movie that you saw that you're disappointed by compared to your pre-existing hype, right? Like, that's just what it is?
Yeah. I think it could be based on anything. It could be based on when it was announced, trailers, just your peak excitement compared to what the final product actually was.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I can live with that. We will go here. Here's how the order will go. We'll go draft order. We'll go Gooch. Do you want to go first or last?
I'll go first. Give me the first overall pick.
All right. So we're going to go by how your NFL team finished. So it goes Gooch, Ken, Jack, Chris, then myself.
Wow, man. Browns really stink.
Hey, who won a Super Bowl? Hey, if your team won a Super Bowl, raise your hand.
I can't.
Yeah, that's what I thought, Chris. Bitch. That's what I thought. Gooch. Wait till
next year, baby.
You've won a championship since 1999.
Have you?
Well, the Lions or the?
Then don't say no. Don't say AFC championship. Don't do it.
Hang the banner, Gooch.
Win the AFC North. Come on, do it one time.
Don't do it. Zero Super Bowls on this podcast right now. Zero.
Oh, that's disgusting. I think we have four full grown men, four different teams in the NFL, zero Super Bowls.
Only two appearances.
Yeah, only two of them.
Wait, yeah. It Chargers have won once.
That's why the Chargers got the shit pumped.
They got four. Kicked in by the 49ers.
Bengals have three.
Oh, that's right. They lost to the Niners twice. That's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
That is sad because only like six teams have never made it. We were for two of them.
Yeah.
And only in our lifetimes, only one appearance of the four, between the four.
Yeah.
Sad.
They're really sad.
That's a choice, by the way.
Yeah. At any time, you could just say, like,
at any time, you could decide to not root. Yeah.
I don't know. I was born in Michigan. Yeah. I'm stuck with this shit. Yeah.
Okay. Gooch, first movie, disappointed. Most disappointing movies you've ever seen.
I think there's a clear number one. I think it's Spider-Man 3, Sam Raimi's cap to the trilogy. After Spider-Man 1 and Spider-Man 2, and when you get announced that all these new villains are coming in, getting the Venom, like, Venom was one of the coolest villains, if not like the coolest animated villain from the 90s, like especially the Spider-Man show. His design was just so cool. Had an action figure growing up, thought he was awesome. And then what we got was, you know, Topher Grace. Like,
yeah.
Whoa. Just, I'm showing the slander of Topher Grace.
I like Topher Grace. He should not have been Eddie Brock.
Venom. Way better than Tom Hardy. Someone tweet this before. He was the world's number one hater. He like went to church to pray for him to kill Peter Parker.
It's true though. The movie was a big letdown. Like, I'm not saying it's the worst movie that I'm going to draft here, but I'd say between my expectations and what I got, I think there's the biggest gap. I was very, as a kid, I thought it was going to be the greatest movie of all time. And it's even my childhood innocence, even in that, I couldn't even reconcile with what I got. I couldn't like in my head be like, oh, it was actually kind of good. Like immediately. No, I was like, no, this isn't very good.
Mm-hmm. That's a solid pick. I don't think it would crack my top two rounds worth of picks, I think, okay. though. Because I think there's okay. redeemable parts too.
I couldn't put it on because I liked it when I saw it. Now, yeah. I was 11. So, but, you know, I saw it in theaters like with some friends. So it was before I developed, you know, critical facilities. But I rewatched it during COVID and it's bad. Yeah.
The dance scene is still to this day one of the most iconic comic book moments of all time.
Yeah. Yes.
The haircut was so bad. I still don't like how does that make it through the cutter room?
Yeah,
no one was like, this is a bad idea. Like that haircut was never in style. Ever,
I feel like after Superman 2, no one was going to tell Sam Raimi no to anything.
You mean Spider-Man 2? But yeah,
Spider-Man 2.
Yeah, sorry,
Sam Raimi's Superman 2.
So Man of Steel 2. I'd be into that.
Spider-Man 3. Just tough.
Yeah.
I feel like there is a very obvious number one here.
I think we're on. That's what I thought.
So I think you might be thinking of a different one. The one that you guys want. I think you will get a chance to have, but I think there's a different one that is it's the more obvious number one, and that's Godfather Part 3. I think is the obvious, most disappointing, because Godfather 1 and Godfather 2, two of the best movies in history, like ever made.
Your dad's nutsack.
I'm not saying I was disappointed going to the fucking theater, dude. I'm saying I watched the first two movies. I was like, these rock. And then I watched the third one this sucked.
Wait, on VHS DVD. I don't know how we didn't talk about this. The guy last night that they were hyping up as like the 90-year-old guy who's been growing the Super Bowl field for two years.
Yeah.
And they're like, he calls himself the sod father. And then it was.
Yeah.
It's one of the worst fields in the history of football. Like they had to redo it multiple times. He's like, I'm the sod father.
Dude, they were slipping all over the place.
He had a made up shirt for it.
Retire, bitch. All right, continue. I think it's a good pick. I agree with Ken Jack.
Yeah, The Godfather Part 1 and 2, I have an Italian household. They were big Godfather people, and they would always say, we're going to skip Godfather 3. And I was like, why? And I eventually got around to watching it, and I understood why. It's a really bad movie. Terrible conclusion to a trilogy that has two of, again, the greatest movies ever made. Just a pretty shit third movie. Uninteresting characters that they had. Like, Sofia Coppola, like, and whoever played the brother, like, I don't know. Like, Andy Garcia is the best thing to come out of that movie, by far. I forget his character's name, but he has one of my favorite lines from that movie where he kills Joey Zaza, rides up to him while he's in the police uniform and the horse. She goes, Joey, and Joey Zaza looks up. He goes, boom, boom, Zaza. Cool. Cool as shit. Other than that, like maybe Michael Corleone saying like every time they try to, you know, every time I try to get out, they drag me back in, and then the crying scene. But like other than that, it just pales in comparison to the first two Godfathers. So that's my pick.
Just so we're clear, you picked a movie that was nominated for 7 Oscars.
I was going to say, what's so bizarre is not nominated for Best Picture. Yeah.
No bad movie has ever been nominated for an Oscar, ever. Everyone knows this.
No, Norbit has its merits.
I mean, Women Talking? To Leslie?
Boo.
To Leslie?
Boo.
They got nominated for an Oscar. You can't boo it.
No, I'm booing Women Talking. Boo. Boo. Wendy Peppercorn. Boo.
Chris?
I think it's me now. I mean, I'm gonna get. I'm actually breaking my own rule with from Spider-Man 3, which is a movie that I liked when I first saw it. But I think, and it's the one that I was thinking of. I believe Kendrick. When you think of hype relative to final results, you can't go. There's no greater separation than Star Wars: The Phantom Menace.
Yeah,
like
that's the one I was thinking you're thinking of. Yeah,
yeah. If you're, go ahead.
Because it lines up that way. Because I, the reason it's not on my list, and I'll let you get into it, because you kind of just said you're contradicting yourself. I loved it when I saw it.
Right. I when you have, and I did too.
And I hate even it more and more every day that goes on.
I've reached that nostalgic point with it where it's like I can watch it. I really don't think it's like one of the worst movies ever, but it's. I wish, and I was only, you know, 3 or 4 when the film came out. I really wish I would have been older just to experience it, because I believe it is the most hyped movie of all time. When you take into account the video game, the tie-ins, the toys, mm-hmm. fucking Happy Meals, the fucking Burger King, you know, shit like every the Pepsi, you know, vending machines, everything that connect that was connected to it. It was the event of all events. Like Force Awakens was huge. It pales in comparison to the hype surrounding Phantom Menace. And it even if you like it, you have to acknowledge it is a remarkable disappointment compared to what came before it. So Star Wars Phantom Menace is, you know, there's been documentaries made about how disappointing it was.
Yeah, that's great.
I agree that it is a massive disappointment, but the only reason I don't have any Star Wars on my list, I'm just not a big enough Star Wars fan. Like that's just, and I haven't been. Like for Star Wars fans, I can't imagine the letdown on Phantom Menace.
Yeah, I cannot imagine.
20 years.
Because I loved Force Awakens. I still love The Last Jedi, but there was something going into Rise of Skywalker that you just, I don't know. Like I just.
Something seemed off, didn't it? Yeah.
So I can't even say that one. I mean, it is a good pick. It is a good pick.
I just remember that I have a Godfather box set and that came with a bunch of like really weird shit. Let's
see. Just like these little poster things that like what am I supposed to do? You want me to frame a picture? Like, look, it's like literally a frame. Like, it comes with like.
The Godfather box set came with the flattest merchandise of all time.
Ken Jack, you know how you've been replacing stuff at your girlfriend's parents' house with John Cena, John Cena picture. You should take one of those over there and replace it.
I just realized this is from my Inside Llewyn Davis.
That makes more sense.
Into my Godfather Part Two or Godfather collector's item. Oh, this is what I'm talking about. La Cosa Nostra, baby.
I like the family. The Corleone family tree is a pretty cool little thing to put in the box set.
I wonder is Godfather 3 even in here? Because I'll break that disc right now on screen.
Ken Jack, move your microphone closer to your mouth.
It's because it's got a.
It's fucking headset. My bad. Sorry.
Here, Godfather Part 3.
Get on, bitch.
Break.
Francis Ford Coppola, get on, bitch.
Oh, this is so hard to break. What the fuck? I got
that snapped really easily.
Yeah.
Why do you have scissors literally next to you?
I'm like behind my kitchen counter.
That actually reminds me, there was an old Bill Simmons, like when he was the sports guy, he had like these cartoons that they had on ESPN, and it was like the most classic Bill Simmonsy things ever. And there was one of them where it was him checking out at a Best Buy buying the Rocky box set, and he takes out like a couple of them and leaves them at the checkout counter. He goes, "I don't need these," and it's just so like perfectly like Bill Simmons like critiques of movies and stuff. But that's what that reminds me of.
Do you know what
too as well?
Did I ever tell you – this is another random shitty story that I have. Did I ever tell you I met Francis Ford Coppola's niece waiting – or like she was a server at a restaurant in East Lansing, Michigan like 9 years ago. Yeah, her name was Snappy. She was hot too. And she's cute.
Very. His niece –
Sophia lives like right next door to me. So I've seen her a few times.
Oh, you've said that.
She lives – yeah, she lives 5 doors down.
Really?
Yeah.
I hope she didn't hear Ken Jag.
The pick for me, I guess I get back to back.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to go along the Ken Jack route. And I'm going to justify this because this is – I assumed he watched Godfather the same way I watched it. Though I guess you said you heard that people crapped on Godfather Part 3.
Yeah, my parents didn't like it.
But I didn't know. When I watched these movies, my dad did not tell me that the third one – and some people like the third one more than the second. I think Chris Klemmer does. I think he said he likes it more. I think so. Or Brandon Walker does. Anyway – Back to Future Part 3.
Yeah.
I love the first. I love the second. And I went to Blockbuster, rented the third, and I was like, what is this garbage? What is this stupid train? Like, what is this crap? I don't like the third one. The third one is not my cup of tea. The second one's not very good either. It's very enjoyable.
Yeah.
But compared to the first, the first is a perfect movie. It is
Which
a
big
perfect movie.
Fan.
Which is great.
I like the second. I like the second a lot. I agree with you. The first one is like a gold standard in like 80s movies. But I like the second one a lot. I'll defend the third one too. I think the third one's fun. I think I'm just a sucker for Old West.
I think it's well above average. That can't be Old West. It's not bad. It's not bad. It's not like horrible.
You don't like Marie Steinberger?
And Marie Steinberger.
What's her name?
Mary Steenburgen?
Mary Steenburgen.
Ted Danson. Mary
Jesus.
What do you call her? Marine Steinberg?
Her husband's Ted Danson.
I'm not that far off. All right.
Back to the Future 2 is good. I do enjoy it. But it's not that good. Like, it almost borders on above average. I bet I have it like it's an 83 or an 82. Anyway, I like it. But like the first one, compared to the first one's 100 out of 100. Anyway, that's the third for me. It's just not – it was just a huge letdown. Much more recent for my second pick. Whenever Diana Prince sticks that fucking USB drive into the computer and sees the logos of the Flash – of Aquaman. That is one of the most disappointing things I've ever seen in my life. Batman v Superman was such a letdown. I listened to, I mean, one of the reasons podcasts exist is because we had our inspiration. The Weekly Planet, our good friend, Mr. Sunday Movies, they started that podcast because of Batman v Superman. That movie was so hyped. How cool is this going to be? Damn, like the teaser trailer from Comic-Con. What an absolute just stinker that movie ended up being. And even the I don't mind the extended one, but you can't count the extended edition.
Yeah,
you just can't.
I agree.
That director, by the way, big piece of shit. Fire him into the sun.
Zach,
oh, that's right. You don't like Zack Snyder.
Yeah,
right.
Don't forget about that. From that.
No. You were not for this episode. I pissed off the Snyder cult on Twitter a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of like Zack Snyder now.
I don't hate him either.
And you know what? I kind of like the director's cut, like the ultimate edition. Yeah, I kind of like it.
I think it's unquestionably better.
Most of the
like, not what we sat down and saw in theaters.
No.
I just think it's so – one issue I have with it is – and it's an issue I have with several of Snyder's movies – is it tries so hard to be edgy, and I just think it's so fucking cornball to me. Like the whole like – it's raining in the background. There's lightning and thunder out as Batman and Superman are about to face. Like nothing about it feels authentic. And even the fight scene, I think, is kind of hack. You know, the Batman hitting Superman with a toilet.
And Martha.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah.
Anyway, Chris, your pick, number two.
Okay, I'm going to go with one that is from a franchise that has been completely mutilated, right? Like just destroyed. But I view this one as such a massive disappointment because it was the one sequel where I felt like they had the right idea and they got the worst execution. Terminator Salvation. Because I think Terminator 2 is one of the best movies ever made, just straight up. Like, not action movie. It is basically a perfect movie. I don't hate Terminator 3. Its biggest crime.
I was about to say, you picked the wrong Terminator.
You see, because to me, Terminator 3's biggest crime is that it's just a lesser version of T2.
I know. Its biggest crime is that it's a giant pile of dog shit and nothing about it is redeeming whatsoever. I would say that is my number one.
Anything redeeming? You see, I think there's some really cool action in that movie and I really like
it. Him holding the coffin in his hand while he shoots people. Like nothing about that movie was good.
That's pretty cool. The crane action sequence, that's a cool sequence. And I like the ending. But to me, I love the idea of Terminator Salvation. Hey, let's do a trilogy that sets up Kyle Reese. You know, we send Kyle Reese's dick in a box back to Sarah Connor, and that's how we end the trilogy, right? I love that idea. You got Christian Bale as John Connor, like one of the best actors ever. And the trailers that had the Nine Inch Nails song in the background were fucking badass. And then the movie has no goal at all. It's just a showcase of really cool visuals. And Christian Bale sucks in it. Like he's not good in it at all. And there's some cool things in it. Anton Yelchin as Kyle Reese. He should have been the main character. He's fucking awesome. And at the very end, when you see all the cool shit that's going on, like in the Terminator facility, that's cool. But it should have been so much more. It needed just another rewrite, at least one more rewrite of the script. And yes, that Christian Bale rant.
We have to play the rant.
Oh,
I mean, it's
good for you.
Think for one fucking second. The fuck are you doing? Are you professional or not?
Yes, I am.
Do I fucking walk around and rip that? No, shut the fuck up, Bruce. Do I want? No, no. Don't shut me up.
That's McGee, right?
Dude.
No, I think that one was the DP, and then McGee.
No,
McGee
was the director. I meant
he goes, go get McGee.
Yeah, he goes, McGee, you got fucking something to say to this prick? And McGee just goes, I didn't see it happen. He's like, I'm staying out of the fucking way. You know what's sad though is that movie looks like shit too. So it's like Christian Bale might have been onto something. The cinematography in that movie is so dark. Hey. Yeah.
Very dark.
Disappointing film. I really did want that to be good. And then now I would still say it's the best Terminator sequel other than T2. Like it, because at least it has some neat ideas.
Yes, it's Genesis stunk.
Genesis is fucking horrible.
Stunk.
Genesis, I think, is one of the worst big budget movies in a like ever. Like, it's just such a misfire. Yeah, Emilia Clarke sucks, but that's nowhere.
This is I want to know. This is the second Bryce Dallas Howard movie on our list already. We're not even out of the second round.
No, what's
Spider-Man 3?
Calm down.
Ken Jack, were you going to go with? Oh yeah, that's never mind. Yeah.
So Terminator 3 was going to be my pick because Terminator 3, I think if you just look at the expectations versus the reality, because the, I think the expectations for Salvation were maybe a little bit lower just because T3 was that bad. So like maybe they were like it's tempered a little bit and it was definitely like leagues above T3. T3 was horrible. Terrible movie. Mm-hmm. Garbage. Shit. Bad CGI. Waste of Arnold. Long, long wait, like 20-year wait just to, for, not really 20. It was probably more like 15-year wait for a really, really bad sequel that was just not entertaining at all. The guy they had playing John Connor was terrible. I don't even know his name. He was that guy stunk. I think that Claire Danes was the romantic lead, right?
Yeah. Danes and Nick Stahl were the
Nick Stahl, that was it. He just stunk, is just no good. And the new Terminator they had in that actress did that movie and then never appeared in another Terminatrix movie again.
Yeah, she was in an Uwe Boll film after that and that was it.
Yeah,
she
that was it.
Bloodrain, I think
that was just a bad Terminator. Not a good movie. Just nothing about that I think is really redeemable almost at all. And that we're on the opposite side. I think Terminator Salvation, like there's some cool action sequences. Like I do like the raid that they have in like the giant like human collecting robot shit like that. I think is cool. They had nothing like that for T3 whatsoever. So
yeah. There's really cool set pieces. Yeah.
Who directed T3?
Jonathan Moscow. Moscow.
Oh.
I think after that he directed that Bruce Willis movie Surrogates, and I don't know what else he did after that.
Why the fuck would just gross, dude. Not a good movie at all. Even like they had like the scene, they did the whole Skynet scene, which is like I feel like everyone was waiting for. You know what I mean? Because like that was the coolest thing when they go back and talk in T2 and T1 about like the history of Skynet and like what happens. They got to show that moment, which is essentially not exactly the same, but it's almost like their moment of like Anakin turning to Darth Vader or whatever, and they fucking fumbled it, man. Like that was just not nearly as cool as it should have been. Like it was just a big time bummer.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to defend it as a great movie. I just think Terminator Salvation, I was just so much more excited for because they were taking it in the direction they should have taken it in after T2, and they failed.
And he fights an Arnold in that, right? Christian Bale fights. Like Arnold, CGI.
Arnold, that doesn't actually look that bad for 2009.
Because it's all in like smoke and darkness, I think, mostly.
Yeah, they covered up his dick with smoke.
Yeah. You know? Yep. The T3, Gooch, you're up, right?
Yeah.
Back to back.
I think this is going to be the first non-IP pick or non-like sequel pick. I'm going to go 2013's The Great Gatsby from one Baz Luhrmann.
Why the fuck were you looking forward to that?
I was worried you're about to pick a movie that I have on my list here, so I'm glad you...
I was so looking forward to this movie based on one of those boring books I read in high school.
Yeah. I mean, I did read it. We read it in high school leading up to it.
Yeah, so if you read it, why are you looking forward to it?
I kind of like The Great Gatsby. nice little F. Scott Fitzgerald
banger. This guy, Nick, he's just like me. He's me, I swear. For real. That was your original Ryan Gosling.
Dude, me, I used to run West Egg.
West Egg, I forgot about that.
That movie had a lot of hype, though. Let's not act like it didn't. Like Leo, like the trailers were awesome. The soundtrack was done by Jay-Z, right? Jay-Z did the soundtrack. Like,
It definitely wasn't a tasteful, like era-specific artist. I'll tell you that.
I just thought that movie was going to be like a classic. Like, I thought, like, oh, this will be incredible, new, different, like really interesting look, taking on like a classic literary work. And then it was just boring as fuck. Like it's just a boring fuck. Has no business being that boring for like how bombastic everything surrounding it is. Like it's just a boring movie to watch. Like, and I was fucking heartbroken. I was like, I read this fucking book. That's what makes it so much worse, is that I read the fucking book. I think that's where a lot of this hatred comes from.
You're just fucking sitting there waiting for like the Catcher in the Rye to come out. You're like, oh fuck, I need more books. I need an Ethan Frome book. What was the book where the guy jounces the limb? Fuck, what book is that? That Separate Piece? No, that's all right.
I don't know. I'm not a fucking nerd.
Yes, you are, because you're reading Great Gatsby and you're so fucking horny for it that you're excited for Great Gatsby the movie.
Listen, listen, that was a school mandated. I needed to graduate. I had a hot English teacher.
I had a very hot teacher in I think it was English. Her name was Mrs. Carbone. Oh, I mean, you can imagine.
Mrs. Carbone.
You can imagine.
You want to come over? You want to come over and watch the first two Godfathers? Dude. We're not watching three. I broke that fucking DVD.
Dude, she was 6 foot two. It was unbelievable.
Hey,
this is a women's like volleyball coach.
Mrs. Carbone.
I swear to God, I probably have a. She might be in my yearbook. I don't know. Could you go back to back?
All right. Oh yeah, I do. I always forget how these drafts work.
What book you're going to pick this time?
It's actually another book pick. You guys are going to boo this so hard.
Oh no!
It's The Hobbit: The Battle of the Five Armies.
Well, okay, fix that. Make it all of the Hobbit movies.
No, because I actually like the first one, and I don't hate the second one. I don't.
You can't watch the first one after watching the original Lord of the Rings trilogy and think this is
no,
good.
No, but on the standalone of like The Hobbit, like I'm not found
pick
the first
it, but
one
the Hobbit
very
was on my list here.
The thing with Five Armies is you watched the first two Hobbit movies, which are not great, and yeah. You were still had high expectations for the fifth one, for the third one.
I think the first one's good. Oh. I'll stand by it.
The second one's definitely bad.
Misty Mountain.
But the second one is definitely bad, so that should have tempered your expectations going into the
it's
third
not great.
One.
It's not great. I'll give it like a 50. But the third one is like a 15. Like, it's a legitimately terrible movie.
Disaster.
Like, I think it's fucking awful. Like, I think it's really fucking bad. And you could tell they knew it was bad because the first two Hobbit movies had like a big marketing push behind them, and then the Battle of the Five Armies came out like a wet fart. Like, there was no hype behind it. They did no marketing for it. It just came out.
The best thing in the second one was Benedict Cumberbatch doing the mocap for that. Like, that was – he was awesome as Smaug. Like, no doubt about it. Everything else in that movie was rat shit. Fucking Stephen Fry as, like, the governor or whatever. Just
I thought that was all practical.
Yeah, the most overly CGI trilogy maybe ever made. And that's coming off the heels of, like, fucking the prequel trilogy.
Had Luke Evans is Bard.
Yeah, Bard. That's right.
Evangeline Lilly as a made-up character didn't exist in the books, but they added so that the hot dwarf could
again.
Have
it's
romantic
the size of one third of the Lord of the Rings, which was broken into three movies, and they broke this one third into three. I mean, they did it for money, but it's just so fucking stupid.
Yeah. Anyway. They had all the CGI money.
By the end, it was based on like you know some. Like notes that J.R. Tolkien wrote on a napkin or some shit. Like, it was just not even remotely close to the source material.
They had all that CGI money, but they couldn't CGI like fucking Orlando Bloom's chin to look less not young. To me, his face was just big.
Yeah. Ken Jack, you're next.
I probably would have picked one of the Hobbit movies, but I think just going through my list here, I think I'll go with, because I did have the entire Hobbit trilogy on my list. I think I'll go with.
Well, you could only have the other two now.
Yeah, which it wouldn't kill me. I'll go with Godzilla 98. Godzilla 98. I didn't watch it when it came out. Actually,
I liked it as a kid. That's the problem again here.
I didn't watch it in theaters or anything like that. I was definitely too young at the time. But I remember watching it when I was like probably tween or whatever, and I was like, oh, I remember the trailers, the commercials, like all this shit, the crazy marketing campaign. I watched it, and I was like, why am I watching like Jean Renault chewing gum, like, and saying it looks American or whatever? Like, and Matthew Broderick just not a good lead for a good Godzilla movie, just not a very good one. And then you go and watch the other Godzilla movies, which are significantly better and actually feature a good Godzilla, and it makes it look even worse. So I'll go Godzilla 98.
That's a good pick. That's a good pick.
I'll be real though. I still, and people disagree, I still don't think we've made a good Godzilla movie in America. The 2014 one was really well directed. It was missing one key element though, and that's Godzilla. Godzilla's not in that fucking movie for like at all. They can't show him, and then they cut to the fucking other kaiju.
Quite a bit.
I like that other kaiju though. That kaiju they introduced was sick. The one with the weird beak thing that Godzilla fight. That was cool.
Came to the movie to see Godzilla.
It's no shit.
I'm a real slut for Mothra.
Yeah, I'm a slut for all kaijus. Kaijus are just cool.
Mothra is a bad bitch.
It's no Shin Godzilla. Shin Godzilla is awesome.
Shin Godzilla is a beast. That's a great movie. I was just rewatching that the other day.
I was about to say, didn't you just watch that?
Yeah. Great movie.
I rewatched it. I put that on our rewatch with Ken Jack. I think because Ken Jack tweeted about it.
Yeah.
Chris.
We talked about one of these movies earlier. You know, one of my favorite films, and big reason for it is nostalgia reasons, I admit, is the first Transformers. And I've talked about it before. I think it's good in large part on accident. Like, I don't think Michael Bay is smart enough to have stuff like charm in his movies, but yet that movie just kind of works as you're like the teenage fantasy that every, you know, boy wants to live out in their life. Transformers Revenge of the Fallen is a shockingly terrible movie. Like, it is, it's one of those movies where it had this excuse, and I'm using air quotes there, with the, oh, well, it was written during the writer's strike. And I watched a video about this recently, and I think they're right. I'm pretty sure the movie would have been dog shit even without the writer's strike. Like, they use that whole excuse because none of the other ones are good either, that Michael Bay was involved in. But this one was stunning. Just, it genuinely played like a movie. Where every single page of the script was being written as they were filming it. The humor, which actually worked to me in the first movie, was so unnecessary and bad in the second one. It's so juvenile. You saw John Turturro's ass. You saw a robot's scrotum. You had the ghetto bots with Skids and Mudflap in there. I mean, just so many cultural stereotypes. None of it works. And it's annoying. It's a very annoying fucking movie.
Yeah.
And it's 2.5 hours long. Transformers Revenge of the Fallen, like one of the worst sequels to me.
Yeah, ever. Revenge of the Fallen was on my list as well. It's a huge letdown. The Matrix of Leadership. It's just a huge letdown from the first one. That's a good pick. It was on my list of movies. It's all sequels for me too. My pick number three is Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End.
Yeah, good pick. That's on my list.
I like the original. Fantastic.
What do you like about Pirates 3, asshole?
Dude, I watched 2 and 3 together. It's like an incredible whisked me away to a time unbeknownst to me.
Number two is awesome. Dead Man yes. Chest, it's got some of the best CGI of all time. Davy Jones is an awesome villain. The music is a great. The scene on the beach, it's Lord Cutler Beckett. It has its issues. It has its flaws. Has a great ending when Barbossa walks back down the stairs. And then At World's End is a slog. Oh, my God.
So bad.
Yeah.
Huge. Calypso.
But, Calypso. By the way, you know what I looked up and found out when I was like, because I was going to – I had this on my list as well. You know how like Keith Richards was in the movie?
Yeah.
He almost missed filming his part because he hurt himself falling out of a tree. Keith Richards at age like 70 was climbing trees and falling out of them.
So yeah, that's my number three. And then to start round four, I'm going to go with another sequel. First one is great. This one's not bad. It has redeeming qualities, but it is such a letdown in retrospect to the first one. And that's Star Trek Into Darkness.
See, I like Star Trek Into Darkness,
I think the Justin Lin one is so much better.
That one's good.
The Fast and Furious.
I like all three of those movies though.
I mean, I don't hate Into Darkness, and it's a very above average movie, around average. But man, compared to the first one, it just didn't hit quite the same. That's Into Darkness. Chris, you're number four.
Back to me. I'm going to go with a movie from 2011 that it had a really terrible first trailer, and then they got somebody good to do the second one. And I was like, oh shit, this movie might slap. And it sucks because it's a character I think is really good. And it looks like they're going to reboot it soon. I hope they do it right because I think it's a very, very unique space opera potential. And that's Green Lantern. You know, Green Lantern was one of those movies that it's so bizarre because you had Ryan Reynolds I know he's been in a lot of shit, but everybody, you know, people like Ryan Reynolds. Blake Lively, when she was really on the up and up, Mark Strong, Peter Sarsgaard, directed by the guy who did Casino Royale. Like, it seems like one of those movies that would be a surefire, like, this thing's going to slap. And it's so like 1985 cornball, like even but without the charm.
CGI masks. Ugh.
Yeah, CG mat. Like there are a few things in it that aren't like I do think the stuff on Oa for the most part is relatively cool, but they cop out because there's too much time spent on Earth. A lot of the effects aren't even that good. And the best thing that came from it just became one giant punching bag for Ryan Reynolds when he made Deadpool. So yeah, remarkable disappointment. A movie that. Should have worked considering the talent behind it and just never got off the ground.
That's a good pick. That's a good one, but like also I guess I wasn't a big comic book fan going into like the Green Lantern movie, so I wasn't like mega disappointed, but it was just a shitty movie. Shout out Taika.
Yeah, I wasn't either, but I know a lot about the lore of the character and I was, like I said, I was excited for the people that were attached to it.
Yeah. For my pick, I'll pick Indiana Jones 4. That's a movie where like the first three, I was so fucking into Indiana Jones. Like me and my dad would watch them over, and my brothers too. Like we'd watch it over and over and over again, especially the third and obviously first one. And we were really pumped for it. Like obviously it was Spielberg back. It was all the main players back, plus like new good actors and actresses. I think I was freshman or sophomore in high school when this came out. And we were like there, I think opening night, and we were so pumped up to watch it. And it just fucking stung. It was Shia LaBeouf as Doggy or whatever the fuck was his name.
Mutt. Doggy.
Shia LaBeouf, you know, Doggy
pooch.
Style.
Pooch.
Yeah. It was him, like fucking the aliens, like them doing, what was it? Did Cate Blanchett like do the splits in between Jeeps at one point in that movie? Like a lot of over CGI. Obviously the refrigerator nuke scene will always stand out as being just one of the most ridiculously stupid things ever. And there was I think maybe the turning point for Spielberg where it's like, oh, maybe he's lost a little bit of juice.
From what I understand, it wasn't Spielberg's fault. Like apparently he had an initial script that got thrown out by George Lucas, and Lucas came in and rewrote, and a lot of that shit is straight from Lucas's brain.
So right off the heels of the prequel trilogy, he let George Lucas dictate to him how to make his own sequels. That's even worse on Spielberg then. He should have put his foot down. Yeah. That's, it reflects even worse on him. But
do you know what the original title was for that movie?
What?
I think it was Indiana Jones and the Saucer Men from Mars.
Oh,
they need better title, people. I mean, yeah. I don't know who was doing it in the 80s, but like they need to get that guy back. But yeah, it's just Indy 4 is just such a fucking disaster, and just over CGI, just like what do you call it? A lot of those movies from that era, a lot of sequel movies from the early 2000s, they just thought we just put as much CGI in this movie as possible, and people will love it, and it's just not the case. Really missed. It just made me appreciate the good ones more.
Gooch, back to back.
Dude, I'm just remembering the South Park bit that came out after that. Where
oh, yeah.
Like, oh, yeah. George Lucas raped. They called him a child rapist.
Yes, that's right. Forgot about that.
All right, my number four. What did I have? I'm going to go with a movie that, again, it's one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my whole life. And I don't think I had enormous hopes for it, but it was bringing back two actors that I loved and that worked together in the past and had put together great movies that I still love to this day. And that's Holmes and Watson, which saw John C. Reilly and Will Ferrell come back together. I thought, hey, get the crew back together. This movie will be funny. It's going to be hilarious. And then it's just maybe the least funny movie I've ever seen.
Ever made.
I can't believe you would have mild hype for that.
Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly, come on. Step Brothers, Talladega Nights. And they're coming back together, and this is what we get? Like, couldn't be better than that? I mean, that is shockingly not funny.
Wasn't that like a send-off for Dirty Sanchez or whatever their production company was? That was like their last movie together.
That's like the last one they did, yeah.
Yeah.
Killed them. Killed by dumb fart jokes, and I don't even know. The dumb the Sherlock bit when they do the... like the calculations in his head. It's just not funny.
Yeah.
It's just not the whole thing. And then my last one, I was going to go IJ Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, but instead I'm going to go with a movie that had just an incredible trailer. Maybe one of the best trailers of all time. Actually shocked it didn't get picked. Suicide Squad 2016.
Yeah.
That's a good pick. It was on my list. Yeah.
That trailer came out. I mean, I can remember where I was. I was at my buddy's house and I was like, holy shit, this looks so good. We pulled it up on his Xbox and watched it on there. Dude, the Bohemian Rhapsody going in the background. I was like, holy, this is going to be such a breath of fresh air in the superhero genre. It looks so fresh and new and like fun. And then the movie just stunk out loud. Like it doesn't even make sense how the trailer could look like that and be put together that well. And then the movie it just is nowhere close to what that was. Yeah, so good lord, I'm shocked that any of those actors survived. Like the fact that Like the fact that they got any of them to come back and reprise those roles after what was put out, like I would have been like, fuck you. Mm.
I was just watching the other day. I rewatched Fury by David Ayer.
Good movie.
Awesome fucking movie. Yeah.
He was. You guys think there's an air cut for that for Suicide Squad? Do you think it actually exists?
I don't know. I think Ayers is a good director. Like even End of Watch, like he does movies that are good. Like again,
End of Watch,
fucking sick. It's just I don't know. Suicide Squad. That felt like a lot of interference on that.
Yeah.
Purple Lamborghini. Purple Lamborghini.
Michelle's favorite song.
Oh.
Fucking love that thing. Okay, I'm up. I think for me, I will pick Pearl Harbor. Pearl Harbor. I think right around that era. So like whenever I first watched Saving Private Ryan, I must have been like low teens or something. And I was like, damn, this is an incredible movie. It's so great. It's so great. It's so great. And then like I organically found Pearl Harbor. And I'm like, wow, look at all these dudes. It's got, I think I'd watched Black Hawk Down by that point. I was like, oh, Josh Hartnett's in this. Oh, Ben Affleck's in this. All these other people are in this. It's going to be great. And I was like into World War II history at the point. Watched that movie. Terrible. Fucking dog shit movie. So bad. I'm surprised it didn't derail. It was Michael Bay, right? I'm surprised it didn't derail his career for like maybe forever because it was that bad. It was like a romantic movie that just happens in the backdrop of Pearl Harbor. Really bad, really disappointing. Was Cuba Gooding Jr. was in it, right? He was the best part.
Yeah, he's the best part of it.
Yeah, but yeah, Pearl Harbor has got to be up there for me.
There's many I could go with here, but I'm going to go with one that's relatively recent. Because I remember when the trailer dropped for it, everyone went, whoa, this is like, I kind of dig what they're doing. I get to watch it like real soon. And then it came out on streaming and it was just dog shit and it had no connection to the original, The Cloverfield Paradox.
Hell yeah. Great pick.
Because I wrote a blog about this a few weeks ago. It's time we get an actual fucking honest to God direct sequel to Cloverfield. Now, I really like borderline love 10 Cloverfield Lane. I think it's really good. It's not a Cloverfield movie. It's just some random movie that they added Cloverfield to make more money, which is fine. It's really good. And then Cloverfield Paradox was an even worse version of that, where clearly not a Cloverfield movie. They got the guy from Grounded for Life to be in it for one scene explaining the paradox. I like
that. I love you knowing Grounded for Life, one of my favorite sitcoms. I love that.
Oh, Grounded for Life was fucking – dude, that was on ABC Family when I came home in elementary school. The show was great. Paradox was good.
There was also the hype of the Super Bowl. Remember, it came out on the –
It came out after the Eagles won.
Exactly. No, that's what I'm saying. It's like, holy shit, there's a Cloverfield movie dropping tonight. That's fucking crazy. And it was – it's so lame. Like I can't even begin to explain how lame of a movie it is. Yeah.
Ass, just absolutely terrible. Yeah. Mine is from 2009, and it had an epic trailer. Great trailer, unreal cast. Channing Tatum.
Giovanni
Ribisi. No.
It's not. I know.
Jason Clark, Stephen Graham, Stephen Lang, Billy Crudup, Marion Cotillard, Christian Bale, Johnny Depp as John Dillinger in Public Enemies.
Public Enemies
was such a bummer. Public Enemies had such a cool trailer. Then that was during Depp's heyday too. That's when Depp was like, I mean, Depp's been big for a while, but that was Depp in the midst of Pirates. Like Depp could do no wrong. Any movie Depp was in, he was like, oh fuck, it's Johnny Depp. He's back again. And this movie was such a bummer. It's the perfect example of sometimes you can just feel something is missing from the movie.
Yeah, it was shot on digital. That's part of it. It looked weird because that was that Michael Mann's movies. Like, I think I don't know if Miami Vice was the first one. He shoots someone that's like super high digital frame rate, and it looks weird. That was part of it. Yeah, and I thought that movie was lame too.
Crazy.
Yeah,
yeah.
He did that other. Was it Black Mass? The other mob movie that stunk too. That was no good.
Was that Michael Mann? Or?
No, that wasn't. No, not Michael Mann. I just mean Johnny Depp did a different mob movie. Yeah, Michael Mann. Goated director has made some poor choices.
He hasn't made a good. He hasn't made a good movie in a long time.
Have you checked out Tokyo Vice?
Tokyo Vice rocks.
Yeah, I mean it's shot actually. I think so, right? Didn't Michael Mann do Tokyo Vice?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, yeah, it's shot really well too. Like really, really well.
Looks awesome. He did the Ferrari movie that's coming out whenever too. I don't know what date that's coming out. You know, he did Black, like, he did, what was the, was it Black Hat? The, fucking
well, that movie's bad.
One? Yeah, Chris Hemsworth, right?
Yeah, the hacker one. Yeah,
yeah,
that one wasn't great. Holy shit, he was a producer on The Aviator and Hancock, and what the fuck? Why was he a producer on any of these? That's crazy. But yeah, Tokyo
Vice. The man in the room.
He was director and executive producer on Tokyo Vice. I just thank you, IMDb.
That's it. Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania next week. Very excited. Jonathan Majors is going to be dominating the reviews next few weeks.
Yeah.
Me and when me and Robbie Fox were going into the theater for Creed, it was like a big standee of Creed with him and then a big standee of Ant-Man and Quantumania awesome. Right next to him. Yeah.
I'm ready for Creed.
Fucking rumble.
I'm going to do the whole review. Full boxing robes.
That is good luck typing.
That is it for Chris and Gooch and Jeff D'Lo. Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. We'll see you next week.
All right.
What happens when you lock 18 coworkers in an office for 1 week to compete for $250,000 of cash? This is Surviving Barstool Season 5, presented by Rumble Premium. Each episode released 3 hours early, so get it ad-free before anyone else, only when you join Rumble Premium. Surviving Barstool premieres Sunday, August 9th at 5 p.m. on Rumble Premium and everywhere else at 8 p.m.
Stella Blue Coffee's new can lattes are here. Crafted with 100% Colombian coffee, each can is a good source of protein and comes in two smooth flavors, espresso cafe mocha and espresso sweet cream. And whether you're braving your morning commute or chasing your pup, Stella Blue cans are for those always on the go and for those who care. Stella Blue is more than just great coffee. It's about giving back. I named the brand after my rescue dog, Stella, who inspired our mission to help more dogs find their forever homes. Every purchase supports animal rescue organizations. So when you drink Stella Blue, you're not just fueling your day, you're saving a dog's life. Try the new cans today. Taste the difference and make a difference. All new Stella Blue coffee canned lattes now available at stellabluecoffee.com or subscribe on Amazon for 10% off.
Have a good week at the box office, folks.